much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. The Brazilians have the same word for making love to one woman as they do for making love to two. Magalish. Take off your top and say it with me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
And now, let's officially get the festivities started. Priest Chen Huan, did I say that correctly? Chen Huan will be conducting the awakening of the dragon.
Chao Cai Yin Ma Cai Tian.
What he said. Let's party!
I understand what you're saying, and I've always said that animals are animals, and that's why they're called animals. We're all animals.
And now.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Our feature presentation.
Sounds like most of our arguments here. About that heady.
Morning,
morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday. It is the 18th of November.
We shouldn't have to work when Lisa May is on vacation, by the way.
I hear
you. It's just
no fun. I'm
with you. No fun. No fun without Lisa, right?
I'm with you.
Especially since she would enjoy this story so much. It's in the British newspapers. This is from the Sunday World. About Britain's most jealous woman. She makes her fiancé take a lie detector test to prove that he hasn't cheated on her every time he leaves the house.
What?
He comes home and she says, all right, time to hook you up to the machine. Make sure you've been faithful to me. Make sure you haven't been checking out any ladies. Debbie Wood is her name. She checks her partner's phone, email, and bank statements several times a day to make sure that he has not been unfaithful. Her fiancé, Steve, is unemployed, by the way, but says life with Debbie is tough but worth it. She is 42 years old, and she has been diagnosed with something called Othello syndrome. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Named after the Shakespearean play where Othello murders his wife who he suspects is cheating on him. It's apparently a real psychiatric disorder that causes people who suffer from it to think that their partners are unfaithful. So she's got an issue. This goes far beyond just regular jealousy. They began dating after meeting on Facebook. They've been together for 2 years.
Why would he do that?
But wait, there's more. By the way, when you see her photo,
yeah,
it will
sure.
not answer your question as
I'm
to
sure.
why he would do that.
I'm sure.
He is banned from watching women on television.
In any way.
Or looking at pictures of them in magazines. She has put a childproof filter on his laptop and his mobile phone to block any, what is called in the article, saucy pictures from being viewed. And his use of both machines is monitored. When is this guy supposed to get his porn on?
Oh, my God. Why would he put up with this?
She also suffers from body dysmorphia and is bipolar. Even if Steve pops out for 15 minutes to buy a pint of milk, I make him take a lie detector test as soon as he gets home. I get so worried that he's been eyeing up the shop assistant that I just have to know the truth. One night, an advert for a woman's razor came on television, and I felt panicky, thinking that Steve was eyeing the model up. The only thing that could put my mind at rest was banning him from watching any programs that have women on them. Now I won't even let him watch The Weakest Link in case he happens to fancy Ann Robinson, but I'm scared he'll have a sneaky look when I'm in another room. So this guy is not living the dream, right?
Not at all. Why would he put up with that for a second?
Well, they asked Steve about it. He said, sometimes I get nervous that the lie detector test will come back inconclusive because my heart is hammering, which makes Debbie doubt me. I just have to tell her that I haven't cheated and pray she believes me. I'm willing to put up with it because I know that we are soulmates.
Wow, she's lucky. She's so lucky.
She is taking anti-anxiety pills and undergoing therapy right now and hopes to marry Steve once she deals with her issues.
Yep, you got to lock that girl in. Don't let her go.
I mean, she's 42 years old. She hasn't dealt with her issues yet. I don't know. I don't have high hopes for this one. But he, like you said, how do you find anyone who would put up with that?
Every day. Just you run out to get some. You told me to go get milk. Hook it up.
Two years they've been doing it, guys.
Wow, that's crazy. Makes us all look normal.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Where is he from? Is he from Aldous? Well, who is this guy?
Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the NFL.
Fantastic.
We're excited about that. We're going to talk to Mike Tyson today, former champ of the world. He is he's amazing. He's an amazing dude and a strange interview. We got that coming up. We have Carl Urban on the program today talking about...
I love that. He's the country music star, right? The one who's marrying Nicole Kidman? I love him.
No, that's Keith
he's
Urban.
He's terrific.
That's Keith Urban.
Oh, I got to tear up all these questions then.
You're lucky I knew that. Carl Urban was one of the stars of Almost Human, which came on last night and then again tonight. So we're going to talk to him about that. We have Miss Double December announcement.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coming up this morning, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, like usual, and we have your tickets for Pearl Jam, and we've got the band Against Me in the studio in the 9 o'clock hour. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6.
Hey, Ralph Garman, the birthday boy. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
You go out last night for your birthday, or do you actually celebrate it on Saturday?
No. I had family and friends over the house on yesterday. Mm-hmm. Everybody got there early. We watched the Eagles game, and then we had a big lunch, and it was over relatively early because everyone had to go to work.
Your Eagles came through for you?
Yeah.
First
home win in a long time. So that was a welcome birthday present for me yesterday.
First home win. You say a long time. Wasn't it like 16 months or something insane like that?
It was 441 days.
Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 10 straight home losses. You know, you say, oh, it's over a year. Well, you don't play football all year long. You know,
right,
there's a big
right.
offseason included in that year, so they haven't won in 10 home games. It's been a long time.
That is definitely a long time. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good birthday. And it's Monday. We're
there's
back.
Cake in the other room, by the way. There's cake and birthday cake.
Oh, you brought
in the
cake.
Room.
Awesome. Yeah,
so. Come on.
How did Muggs not know that all
day? I don't know. You think he's doing that. He's like a basset hound anytime he brings food into the house. But no, he's missed it somehow. So there's still some left. That's the good news.
Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Thank you, Bean, by the way, for your birthday gift. Bean got me an awesome coffee table book about the history of Doctor Who. The 50-year anniversary, of course, is this year of Doctor Who. And it's a beautiful coffee table book with the color pictures and the story of the history of the program from its inception up till Matt Smith.
I got that for you, too, but I couldn't part with it, so I just kept it for myself.
You were fascinated
right.
by reading it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's an awesome gift, and I appreciate it, Bean.
I'm so happy you liked it and didn't already have it. That's great.
No, it's great. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, because Monday morning is when we do that. Thor, The Dark World, still the top of the heap. $38.5 million this weekend, made number one. However, some stiff competition from The Best Man Holiday.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Taye Diggs.
Yeah,
he's got those problems,
right?
And those people, those friends and women,
right?
$30 million made it number two at the box office.
Is that a surprise to you?
No, because they have a certain audience that they appeal to that they tap into with these films, and
right.
I think they went out in force to support this film.
I was listening. There's a this won't surprise you guys. There's an AM R&B station that I listen to.
Sure, of course.
Over the weekend, and it seemed like every 10 minutes I was listening on Friday. Every 10 minutes, somebody was talking about The Best Man Holiday. I mean, it was the only thing going on the station. Is this day is finally here? I can't wait to see what happens to these characters.
Oh, I know.
I guess it's got a history, got a fan base, and they were primed and ready for it.
It's the latest in the Best Man franchise.
I know,
all the best radios on AM. You guys know that.
That's true.
Of course. Yeah. And the quality. Mm-hmm.
Especially the R&B.
Las Vegas was third at the box office, then Free Birds and Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. That's your top five. Gravity was sixth, Ender's Game seventh, 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, and About Time, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. This weekend, Matt Damon made himself a couple bucks for drinking a cup of coffee this month. Usually he refuses to do any sort of TV commercials, but he made an exception for a European commercial for Nespresso. You familiar with Nespresso?
I am not.
Clooney did one for them, right?
Yes, yes. I think Clooney's got a piece of it or something, this Nespresso. Because Matt Damon made the commercial with George Clooney and his producer from Monuments Men, an actor, and the screenwriter Grant Heslov. They all worked together on the spot. And Nespresso is like Keurig. It's a coffee machine. It's a coffee maker.
Okay.
But it's high-end. So apparently for doing the commercial, Matt earned $3 million for the 20-second commercial.
Wow.
Wow.
20 seconds, about $3 million. Nespresso, I'd like to make this offer to you right now. I will do a full 60-second commercial for you for the same $3 million. You'll get three times the value for the exact same price that you pay for one Matt Damon.
A much better value.
I think so. So, Nespresso, if you're listening, I know we have a ton of Nespresso.
We do.
Executive listeners. Give me a call. I'll be happy to work out those details.
Well, you have long said off the air, privately, how much you love Nespresso and how it's the best coffee maker there is.
I have often said if Nespresso had an orifice, I would fill it. That's how much I enjoy Nespresso.
What?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Looks like Alec Baldwin has lost his television program on MSNBC, at least temporarily.
It's about time.
Alec has been suspended for 2 weeks. After Alec let loose a red-hot shot at a paparazzo outside his Manhattan apartment on Thursday, calling him a bleep-sucking bleep.
Let me see if I could figure out what that could be.
Egg-sucking dog?
No, no.
That was my guess, too.
No, the bleep-sucking. You can imagine what he's calling the person.
Yeah, appendage,
sucking.
Right?
And then the bleep is a homophobic slur. Homophobic slur starts with an F. Two syllables.
No, I'm not getting anything.
So he's a bundle of sticks. It's a bundle of sticks in England.
Okay.
He's working out of the Eminem playbook.
Yes. Now, my favorite part of the story, Alec is trying to tell everyone that he merely called the photographer a bleep-sucking fathead.
Well, that's better.
It's better, and yet it's hardly, if you see the video or hear the video or we can read his lips, it's so obviously not fathead is what he's not saying to him.
Well, we have to talk to Harvey about this next hour when we have him on, because at one point over the weekend, I think Alec threatened to sue TMZ on his Twitter account. Said he was going to sue him if they reported that he had said a homophobic slur.
Right. Whether the show comes back at all is at issue right now, Alec has said, regarding his suspension. He's not happy that they've suspended him.
Sure.
If the show dies, its fate will be no different than the vast majority of startup TV programming. So there.
Other people fail, too.
Yeah. All television's like that. So what? Here's the thing. You can't be on the vastly liberal, left-leaning station and then just attack homosexuals like that. It's not good form. And MSNBC, you're really putting them in a bad position. How do they let you keep your job?
Right.
And then allow you to behave like that? It's not the first time he's gone off with some homophobic slurs, so.
It does seem to be a habit.
Ugly, 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 ugly.
Did anyone see his TV show, by the way?
No. I never did.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his podcast. I think he has something to say, and he seems to be a pretty good interviewer, but I never got a chance to check out the TV show.
I don't get MSNBC. I mean,
you receive it.
I receive the
television.
Channel. I just don't understand it. So I don't watch it.
And this story is near and dear to my heart because it takes place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Of course, my hometown. I want to give a shout out to the Philadelphia PD there, the cops who do a wonderful job, especially when they arrested 20-year-old Emin Faki.
I'm sorry?
Emin Faki was arrested for driving his car down the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the spot made famous by Rocky Balboa. Of course, Rocky climbed those steps famously in many of the Rocky films as part of his training regimen. Emin Faki drove down the steps in his BMW.
How did he get at the top of the steps? Did a road go up there?
Not really.
Okay.
Sort of. If you go around the back way, you can kind of get up there.
All right.
My favorite thing is, in his defense, he told the cops that the brakes on his BMW just failed and he couldn't stop. He just simply couldn't stop. He had to go down those steps. Police had his car checked by mechanics, and it turns out the brakes were fine. That's when they filed charges against him. He has to stay away from the museum before he appears in front of a judge. He just probably thought, wouldn't it be cool?
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
This is lazy. It's like, most people say, I want to go run the Rocky Steps. Right. I want to go. I don't, I'm just going to drive down them. I'll be there.
Not even up.
Yeah,
down.
Down. You can't even muster the energy to drive up the stairs.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
That's true. I wasn't there. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kevin Nealon, our friend and comedian and actor, is 60 years old today. Oscar Nunez from The Office, very funny guy, 55 years old. Elizabeth Perkins turns 53. I guess Weed.
Sure.
When we saw her last, right? Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 51. Owen Wilson's 45. Singer, songwriter, Broadway composer Duncan Sheik is 44. What was his big hit? I Am Barely Breathing? Is that it?
That's it.
Was that it? 44 years old today. Peter Wilson's 43. And Chloe Sevigny celebrates her 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Yeah, sale. Reminds me of a lot of Christmas presents to pick up. You know, it's the holiday season.
Hey, Pat.
A lot of sales going on right now.
Do you mind if we...
You know, there's 2 days, Kevin, you never need to worry about.
Right.
One of them is tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Because tomorrow never comes. And yesterday, everything's said and done. You can't worry about that. You have to take today. That's what matters. Today.
Wait, tomorrow never comes?
That's why they call it a present.
Mm.
No, tomorrow, because when you get to tomorrow, it's today.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So tomorrow... Today was the tomorrow that you're worried about yesterday.
Right. Mm. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's K-Rock. It's 6 minutes after six, and Pat O'Brien has joined us.
Absolutely. You guys need a little help with your NFL coverage.
We're fine.
A full-time,
we're doing okay.
Sports guy. So, you know, I just stop by on Mondays, give you my breakdown of the NFL weekend.
All right.
I'll tell you something. Last night, it was a highly touted game. Two of the best teams in the league. What was going to happen between Peyton Manning and those Denver Broncos, and, of course, Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll tell you, I think they proved once and for all that the Kansas City record, although impressive, 9-0 going into last night's game,
right,
was largely built on teams that didn't have winning records.
Yeah,
so
kind of a soft
against,
schedule.
Went against Peyton Manning, and I'll tell you, what Peyton does out there is pretty masterful, isn't it?
He's something.
It's amazing how he moves his offense around. I was telling Mary J. Blige that when we were together. Watching the game yesterday.
Why were you watching the game with Mary?
Yeah, Mary J. She's a huge Peyton Manning fan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she said, "Look at the way he's quite a general out there on the field, isn't he?" At least I think that's what she said. I don't know.
I know the Chiefs didn't touch him. Literally, did not touch him. No sacks. Didn't get anywhere near him.
Did you say you were stoned?
No, not at all.
Because I thought you beat your demons.
No, I did. I beat my demons.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I was getting a stone massage. We're watching it at a spa together.
A weird place to watch football,
but
okay.
Yeah. Peyton was touched a few times, but never knocked down, never sacked, and didn't look like that high ankle sprain was giving him any trouble at all. So, looks like the Denver Broncos had something to prove, and they did. However, the San Francisco 49ers, they got to be smarting today. Looked like they had that game in hand yesterday, but then a penalty against Drew Brees for hitting him around the neck caused the Saints to get a little extra life, and next thing you know, There you go. You know, did you see that Chicago Bears-Baltimore Ravens game?
I saw it was a mud bowl.
It was.
Much,
the conditions there in Chicago were pretty rough because of the weather. By the time it was all said and done, the torrential downpour had made Soldier Field look like a soup that Misha Barton made for me once when I went over to her house for dinner.
What are you talking about?
I don't think that happened.
That's
Dad.
A terrible soup as well.
I'm just saying, it was brown and runny. Misha Barton, not a great cook, is what I'm saying, basically.
Right.
Take a look at some of the other games. Philadelphia Eagles now in sole ownership of the NFC least. See what I did there?
The least.
Yeah. That's a bad division.
Right.
It did seem like their season was over a few weeks ago, and now somehow they managed to claw their way back into contention.
They beat the Washington Redskins, and now they're in sole ownership with the Cowboys being off this weekend with a bye. And New York, surprisingly, with an 0-6 start, are still in the mix.
That's
for that
crazy.
Division after rattling off four straight wins, including one yesterday against the hapless Green Bay Packers. I'll tell you, without that Aaron Rodgers, they sure seem to be struggling, don't they?
Yeah, they do. That's true.
Anne Hathaway was out there. She said, I could probably play better than that backup for the Packers.
Where was she?
Anne Hathaway was here. Well, we were having brunch.
You and Anne Hathaway?
At the same spa I was at with Mary J. Blige. And... excuse me, we're having eggs Florentine,
right,
that Iggy Pop had made for us.
Why is Iggy Pop cooking?
I guess times are tough for Iggy. We'll just have to agree to disagree on this one. It was me, Mary J., Who else did I say? Anne Hathaway.
You said Anne Hathaway. Yeah. Yeah.
Colin Farrell stopped by. David Spade was there.
Well, that's quite a party.
Emma Roberts, Rihanna, Justin Timberlake. And then Sigourney Weaver brought over some sorbet.
Are you playing Mad Libs right now, or is this an actual thing that happened to you?
No, it's a pirate. Look, I happen to have a lot of show business friends.
Right.
I'm sorry you guys don't, but don't be jealous about me because I've been in this business for a long time.
It's just you drop names a lot.
Tonight, it's the Patriots versus the Panthers.
Now, what do you see in that game, Pat?
I see the Patriots are going to hang 170 points on the Panthers.
That's unlikely.
It is.
Okay.
That's what I told Renee Zellweger when she told me that number. I said, that's ridiculous, Renee. Why are you so squinty?
That's an excellent question.
That's your NFL update.
All right.
I'm Pat O'Brien, primetime with me and Hartman.
Right.
Tune in this afternoon and listen.
Okay.
Ask Hartman, he'll tell
you. You can see TMZ live from the newsroom at 4 p.m. weekday afternoons on Fox Channel 11. And then the original TMZ show airs at 6 p.m. And our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us each Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good. I like the promo with the tub. I like that.
Yeah, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no.
So I was dying to talk to you today, especially when I saw Alec Baldwin threatening to sue you on Twitter over the weekend. What the hell's going on?
You tell me. it is really crazy. I mean, look, he dropped a homophobic slur. He's saying he said fathead. We enhanced it. There's just no way. And we listened to it, and he uses a homophobic epithet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done this before. I mean, remember when he called the guy a toxic queen?
Sure.
And
then
said he didn't mean anything homophobic, he just meant royalty.
Right, yeah. Right. That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, there's that.
So here's the thing. So, you know, look, you know, he went crazy on Friday, and he was, you know, going after photographers and this and that, and MSNBC has now suspended his show. But here's the deal. You know, he does a lot for the Human Rights Campaign Fund, which is, you know, an organization that, you know, fights for gay marriage and whatnot. The issue is, what happens when he goes off the rail? Because he seems to gravitate to wanting to use those words.
And he has definite anger issues. He cannot control himself when he gets mad.
But the anger seems to always go to this place. I mean,
mm-hmm.
He's used a lot of words like this before. And, you know, not necessarily the F word, but, you know, rhymes with bloodsucker. You know, I mean, he just does it. And so, you know, people have come to his defense. What I find really interesting is GLAAD, which is this, you know, this organization that supposedly fights for gay rights and gay equality and everything else.
Right.
We call them all day long on Friday. And I got to tell you, if this were Governor Christie, who said what Alec Baldwin said, they would be going insane.
Yeah, no question.
But they're giving him a pass a little bit because he's a liberal who generally supports their way of thinking.
Well, strike a little bit.
I mean,
they often go underground. They came out actually with a statement saying that, you know, there's been a pattern here. But then they just drop it, and they never address the F word, which is, you know, the equivalent of the N word for gay people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just, it's so ridiculous that the double standard where you have to look at who's saying it now. And
that's interesting.
It's so hypocritical. It's ridiculous.
Harvey, what did you think of, if this is all it ends up being, MSNBC's decision that 2 weeks is a suspension, that's enough for this? Do you think that's too much? Do you think it's not enough? Do you think it doesn't matter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I read a thing in the LA Times saying the show isn't doing well, so I don't know. He's saying he's beating him. He's beating CNN, but then again, so is a test pattern a lot of times.
Yeah, well, they're not doing so well.
In a million years, I would never want Alec Baldwin's life. I mean, there's no question that he feels like he is living in a war zone, and he's brought a lot of it on himself, the way he handles the paparazzi.
Well, but, I gotta tell you, I mean, at one point he tweeted that TMZ is trying to destroy him. And it's like, we're not, you know, first of all, we haven't done a lot of these stories. And, you know, when you go after one after the next in the same day, yeah, we did the story.
Yeah.
But it's like, he just is, you know, we're to blame for this. It is really weird.
That's a weird thing where he sort of ignores his own behavior and then says, why are you going after me?
Right. Oh, no.
That's bizarre.
what he does is he'll blame everybody else, and he certainly did that.
He said fathead, first of all. I just want to clarify that.
Sure, he said
fat. Right. All right. Speaking of Twitter, it was a very scary moment on the House of Lies set that happened, what, on Friday, I want to say. And it unfolded for most of us because of your story about what the stars were tweeting. What happened, Harvey?
Well, they had a shoot in Nickerson Gardens in the L.A. area, which is one of the housing projects. And there were a lot of people who came out to look at it, including rival gang members. And, you know, as things kind of escalated in the crowd, all of a sudden, gunfire rang out, and these rival gangs apparently started shooting at each other. So, at a point, nobody got hurt, but everybody left. But this is kind of the danger of doing these location shoots, where there's not this kind of their security, and you know, especially a show like that, you know, where you know you might be drawing, you know, people there, especially gang members, and you know, at a point when you kind of see rival gang members in the crowd, you think maybe there's a problem.
Yeah,
here.
Maybe we should consider what's going on here.
Yeah, maybe.
And you had Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell both tweeting about whether they'd been hit or not, right? I mean, it was kind of, they were joking about it, but it was kind of scary to think that they might have been so close to actually get involved in that.
Well,
crossfire.
No, I mean, and it's like they were joking. I'm not sure why they were joking about it. They were kind of trying to deflect it. But the bottom line is, there were shots fired.
But Kristen Bell is okay.
Yeah, everybody's okay.
All right.
But, I mean, nobody wants to be in the middle of a crossfire.
No, I hear you.
I think that's pretty much a true statement.
Yeah. We are on the phone with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He joins us from the newsroom every Monday morning. Let's do one more before we let you get to your meeting, and that is a news story. It's hard to believe you have four new Justin Bieber stories a day, but this
one, in
some ways, the party story is kind of the craziest. Harvey, what's going on?
Well, I've got two party stories. Be more specific.
All right. The one where you can go to his party, but you can't tell anybody about it.
Okay, that one. So here's the deal. Justin had a party over the weekend, and he had 100 people there, and it lasted until like 5:30 in the morning, and the police were called three times, blah, blah, blah. But anybody who walked in had to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. And in that agreement, it says, you will not tweet, you will not Facebook, you will not Instagram, you will not in any way record, you will not tell anybody about anything that happens inside this party. And if you do, you will have to pay me $3 million.
Yay!
$3 million.
Here's the deal. It's a bargain. He had a party about 4 months ago, and he sent the same non-disclosure agreement out, and that was $5 million. So I think the recession must have hit.
It's a discounted party. Party's not so good. So did it work, or do you know anything about what was going on in this party?
Well, here's the thing. We did get the non-disclosure agreement. It's up on the website.
Well done.
And what about the fact that he says that the woman that he was with that videotaped him in Brazil, was not a prostitution house. That was a porn star, and he didn't touch her.
You just violated your rule. We said only one Justin story, but I'll talk about it.
Seriously, he didn't touch her.
It's a porn star. I know it's a porn star.
Come on. And if he didn't touch her, isn't that a lot worse?
Well, it makes him a fathead, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. God.
Thanks, Harvey. Have a good day.
He actually hung up. All right. We got Pearl Jam tickets we're going to give away. 1-800-520-1067. It's Saturday and Sunday at the LA Sports Arena. We've got your tickets. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to play a game. It is a painful game, but you'll have to earn them, and we'll do that.
Got a lot of shows still to come here on the World Famous K-Rock this morning, including Catching Up with the Champ. Mike Tyson himself will be on. Also, the band Against Me stops by, and actor Carl Urban. First, though, very excited now that both nights of the 24th Annual K-Rock Almost Christmas Concert are sold out, to turn our attention to another great show that's coming up at the Los Angeles Sports Arena. It is this weekend, right? This Saturday or Sunday.
Yep.
You will win tickets to see Pearl Jam, one of the great live bands working today at the LA Sports Arena. That's the good news. The bad news is you got to win Omaroki.
How dare you?
And he just said, this is going to go poorly. So good luck.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Now,
I thought the plan was that Omar sings the songs of the band that we're featuring, in this case Pearl Jam, so that the listeners have a chance to guess what song it is and then win tickets, right?
That's exactly what I do. That's what the goal was. What I do.
That was the original goal, yes.
But unfortunately, what happens is people just hear a guy screaming and they don't know what to do and they hang up and cry.
It's singing. It's singing better than the original artist.
Take it easy. All right. Let's begin
You guys are getting it all wrong.
Let's begin with Josh.
I don't know where you're getting your information from.
We need somebody to keep track of for a drawing. Can you do that, Muggs?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Well, I apologize for what you're about to hear, but if you could identify this Pearl Jam song, you'll go into the drawing. Good luck.
I don't want to take what you can give. I would rather starve than eat your bread.
Yes, Corduroy. He said it.
You got to let me finish, man.
You don't have to let him finish.
No,
you
know definitely what? Not.
I'm so good. He didn't even need the entire verse.
All right, take it easy.
Josh, you are in the drawing. Thank you. Now, Omar, you know we're talking Pearl Jam here, not Joy Division, right?
I'm talking Pearl Jam, man. This is my Eddie Vedder voice. It sounds a little like Elvis, doesn't it?
It sounds too much like Elvis.
Okay, I'm going to have to tone that down a bit.
Let's go to Darren. Hi, Darren.
How you doing?
We are good. Our listeners, not so much so, because Omar is singing songs from Pearl Jam. Identify this song.
Waiting, watching the clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's got to stop.
Better Man, correct.
Waiting.
You see, it's just like that.
All right, 2 for 2, I'm encouraged so far. Who's up next?
Next, we have Al. Hi there.
Good morning, guys.
Sorry about what you're about to hear, but name this Pearl Jam song, please.
Clearly I remember picking on the boy. Seemed a little harmless, little... But we unleashed the lion, gnashed his teeth, and bit the recess lady's breast.
Are you sure about those lyrics?
That'd be Jeremy.
That would be Jeremy. Nicely done.
Clearly I remember.
Right. You see, just like that.
Here's what's funny is that I can see Omar's face, and when he sings and when he listens to the original, he feels like they're identical.
It's exactly the same.
It really does. All right, let's go to Robert, who's our next contestant. Hi, Robert. Hello, Robert. Going once, going twice. Thank you.
I don't like him anyway.
Let's try Rob. Hi there.
It's another guy named Rob.
Hi, Rob. All right. Here's Omar, and you have to tell us what song this is. Good luck.
Once divided.
Nothing Man.
Nothing.
Yes, Nothing Man.
Once divided.
I'm so good. So far, bitches, 4 for 4.
Rob, thank you for saving us from hearing any more than the opening words of that. We appreciate it. This is pretty incredible. I don't know that we've ever had an Omaroki where more people have gotten them.
And
so good.
Thank God that our listeners have so early so we don't have to listen to Omar's version of every single one of them. Now, Rick is next. Hi, Rick.
Who do you?
Do what you can do
to keep who do you as well
to keep Omar from singing this entire song. Go ahead.
Kneeling, looking through the power that doesn't know how to breathe. Oh yeah. Oh, praying. Now let's do something that you know what to do.
Even flow is correct.
Just like that.
I've got the strength for maybe one or two more guys, but that's it.
All right, let's go to Elaine. Hi, Elaine. Have you been able to get the one so far while you're on hold?
A few of them. A few.
Well, good luck with this.
Mother reads aloud. Child tries to understand it. Tries to make her proud. The shade goes down. It's in her head. Painted room. Can't deny there's something wrong.
Have you heard these songs?
I really don't know.
Elaine, okay, nothing? Yeah, I don't think anyone could have gotten that one, although it was Daughter.
Mother reads aloud, child tries.
Yeah, that's a very recognizable song, but it was nothing like yours.
All right, one
pretty
more.
Pretty close, though.
Pretty close. One more. Charlie, hi.
Hello.
We got one more song for you. It's Omar Oki singing Pearl Jam. Good luck.
Son, she said, I have a little story for you. What they thought your daddy was nothing but while you were sitting home alone at age 13. Your daddy was dying. Sorry you didn't see him, but I'm glad we talked.
Is this Tommy Lee Jones sings the hits?
This is horrible.
This is the best.
Charlie?
Is the best.
Alive?
Alive is correct.
Have I got a little story for you?
Six out of seven. Pretty good.
Remarkably, Josh, Darren, Al, Rob, Rick, and Charlie are all in the drawing. Only one can win tickets for this weekend. Pearl Jam at the Sports Arena. Who's it going to be?
Here it is. It is six. Rick, line yeah! six.
It's six. Mark says. Congratulations, Rick.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
You're going Rick. To see Pearl Jam.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
It really is the most wonderful time of the year, you guys. And I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, and I'm not talking about Acoustic Christmas, and I'm not talking about an actual Christmas. I'm talking about this double December 2014.
Yay!
All the details coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning. It's that time, you guys.
It is.
For creepy,
it's double D.
For Creepy Bean, it really is the perfect storm. It's like everything coming together. The Bean could be all creepy
loves Christmas.
About all at once.
Loves Christmas.
Exactly.
Loves parts of women. Not all women, not the full body of the woman,
no,
just
not,
parts of.
Not a woman,
right.
But parts of.
Correct.
Yeah, the only way it'd be better if they were all weather girls. If they were
that's
all
true.
They were
news.
They were all newscasters or weather people, then he would
I hope
be,
some of them enter.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
I enjoy Miss Double D for the same reason you guys enjoy it, which is just it's a fun broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's fun to meet our new representative for the Kevin and Bean Show for the calendar year.
But
ahead.
You're the only one that makes it sound so creepy.
I'm not being creepy at all about it.
Now in your defense of it, where you're not saying anything creepy, it sounds creepy.
There's look, nothing creepy about my love for Miss Double D.
We will all agree that it's nonsense. I mean, come on.
Yes.
but why not? But then Bean starts talking about it, and we go, oh.
What did I say? I said it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's not your words. It's the music is louder than the lyrics. That's the problem here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you would like to represent the Kevin and Bean Show next year as Miss Double D 2014, stand by. We have all the details for you coming up next. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Thor, The Dark World, continues to hold on to the top spot. $38.5 million made it number one. Then The Best Man Holiday, the latest in the successful Best Man franchise. I don't know. Has there been other Best Men? I think there's no. I think one,
yeah, there
one
have.
Maybe.
No.
Two? I don't know.
There was the Best Man in the Temple of Doom. I remember that.
That was a good one. $30.6 million in its debut. Almost snatched the top from
it's a lot.
But it did just finish just behind it. Last Vegas was third. Free Birds and then Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. At number five, Gravity was sixth. Ender's Game, 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, and About Time are your top 10 at the box office from this past weekend. Speaking of Gravity, congratulations to that film this weekend. It just passed the $500 million mark when it comes to box office.
I'm impressed.
A movie about Sandra Bullock in space. Who'd have thunk it? But it this weekend made over $500 million. Pretty good news for the Gravity folks.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
It certainly is. CBS Now is talking more about its spinoff from its very successful TV show, How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
As I mentioned before when I talked about this story a couple weeks ago, it'll be called How I Met Your Dad.
Really? They can't go with father?
No.
Hmm.
It's the same guys who created the first show are creating the spinoff. Now, no one's talking about who's going to be in it yet. However, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the theory is that the girl who plays the mother now, you know, they finally brought in the mother on this show, How I Met Your Mother, who this is. Kristen Milioti is her name. They're suggesting that she will play...
The father?
No.
Oh.
Her role, but we'll see all of her friends and everything, all the backstory that led up to her meeting...
I got you.
...the father of the first series, so... It'll be like a prequel, in essence, to what's happening now. That seems to be the theory.
What's everyone's level of interest in a backstory on a character we don't care about?
That's a loaded question.
It is, but look, I've never watched the show on a regular basis in the first place. The few episodes I've seen, I've really enjoyed. But it's
Me too. I like those characters. The people who are on the show now, I'm interested in those characters. I don't care about this new character.
But you may fall in love with all these new friends that she has.
You could like it more, Bean.
That's right. So we'll see what happens. Although I think for a show called How I Met Your Mother, to just introduce the mother in the final season of that show has been a big lie to us the whole time.
That's true.
It really hasn't been about how he met that woman at all. Just now it is, sure. But what about all that time before? What was that all about?
It's all teasing.
How I spent my time before I met your mother, not leading up to and including.
That's probably a good title, though.
It. Probably a little wordy.
Yeah.
While we're talking about new TV news, Craig Ferguson has a new game show in the works. He'll be hosting a show called Celebrity Name Game. This game.
Celebrity Name Game.
You've played the game Celebrity before at a party, probably, right, Kevin?
Is that like 20 questions?
Yeah, but it's all, it has to do with, you know, famous people, actors, singers, pop culture figures, that kind of stuff. This will be played with one celebrity and one contestant. We'll team up to try to beat another team made up of a celebrity and contestant, and who can identify the most famous names. Courtney Cox and David Arquette's production company is producing it. And Craig Ferguson will be the host.
He's a likable guy.
He's very likable. I think that would be fun. Just to see him host a game show would be fun.
And Ryan Seacrest isn't screwing it up by putting it in space. You don't have to throw a ball.
That's right. You're not in a glass tube or anything while you're doing it. You just play the game. That's all.
It's fine.
Congratulations to the folks over The Simpsons. FXX has just picked up all 530 episodes of that show for syndication. No one's talking about what the deal is worth. However, the numbers I've heard bandied about, $750 million going to the producers of The Simpsons for this deal. That's what I've heard.
Wow.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Considering they got paid all along.
Yeah. And you get paid again.
That's crazy.
Joan Jett was supposed to be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Oh, I love that parade. It's the best.
No one loves
it's
that parade.
It's the best. By the way, speaking of parades, you see who's hosting the Hollywood Christmas Parade this year?
No.
Who's going to be the Grand Marshal, or the guy who's talking, who's giving us the play-by-play?
No.
Eric Estrada.
Yes!
Why don't they put that back on television, damn it?
That is always the best. That's a parade right there.
That is a parade.
That's just nonsense after nonsense.
Coming up, it's Joe Blankenship. Yes, you remember about Joe Blankenship. He played the waiter in that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry lost his car keys. Here he is. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Merry Christmas to you, Joe, and your family. Joe's there waving in the back of a convertible. It's awesome.
Can't hear anybody. Can't hear anything that's being said. Yeah. Ralph, I know you have the Joe Jett story to do, but while you're on the topic of the parades, why is Los Angeles so freaking lame? Why can New York do the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade and Los Angeles has the weak-ass Hollywood Christmas Parade? Why does New York have the unbelievable Times Square New Year's Eve? The whole world wants to be there. Los Angeles has Kevin standing out in his yard with a firecracker.
How dare you?
I'm serious, though. This is a big-ass city with lots of creative people. Why can't they make things happen like they
do
in other cities?
Because there is no centrally located...
It's way too spread out,
...point of focus. Times Square is the center of Manhattan, center of New York City. Everyone goes there for everything. You got Encino, you got the beach, you got Palisades. Everyone is all over the place. Nobody convenes in one general location for any one event, Bean.
Right, but in New York City, it's a metropolis of 12 million or something
that live in one square mile.
A lot of them come to the one location where the action is. Los Angeles could pick a spot and do something awesome enough that 300,000 people would want to come down and see it, but they don't.
Well, listen, a large part of what happens in New York is built upon nostalgia and tradition.
Yeah, it's true.
If you started up something in Times Square tomorrow, it may not have had the same turnout that it has had over the past, I don't know, 50, 60 years, whatever how long they've done that.
I feel like we're weak.
I think you're weak. You don't even live here, for God's sake.
Nor would he go if he did.
Nor would he go. Right. Just stay in your island, Gilligan. You and the skipper. Just stay in your hut. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Joan Jett was supposed to appear and perform on the South Dakota float.
Why?
Because she's from South Dakota.
All right.
However, South Dakota does not want her on their float.
Really?
Yes. They said South Dakota is all about meat and agriculture. And the ranchers that represent South Dakota complain because Joan Jett is an animal rights activist and strong supporter of PETA. So they want her off their float.
But wait, this isn't a PETA float. It's not a meatpacker float. It's just representing the great state of South Dakota, right?
Yes, but Joan Jett is an outspoken animal rights activist, and she has chapped the hide of many a rancher apparently in South Dakota.
I can see that.
So they want her off the float.
Let's see what... fellow South Dakota celebrity Pat O'Brien has to say about this. Pat, what are your thoughts on Joan Jett being kicked off the
float? I was talking to Joan Jett the other day.
You were, really?
We were hanging out together. I was. I put another dime in the jukebox while I was with her. We were hanging out in a bar.
Did you?
Yeah. And, you know, Joni, she's a great performer.
Right.
And, you know, she does not like the meat.
Correct.
She likes the tuna.
Right.
And doesn't eat meat.
Right.
At no time have I ever seen Joan put any meat in her mouth.
Right.
I think she steers away from that.
She does.
We understand.
Yeah. She's a vegetarian.
Yes, we got it. Thank you, Pat.
I like calling. Right.
And she loves rock and roll. That much we know.
Yeah, she sure does. She loves that rock and roll. So I think South Dakota, you know, they have a right to say who they want to put on their
Sure.
float. And okay. since they have an opening, I was thinking maybe another famous person from South Dakota could take the place in the parade.
I can't think of any right off the top of my head.
Well, we'll have to beg to differ on that one.
Tom Brokaw? You thinking of Tom Brokaw,
maybe?
We'll
have to agree to disagree on these choices, because I think the answer is right in front of you.
Beer mug?
Right in front of us.
I think me on the South Dakota float.
You, Pat?
With a cell phone, saying, yeah, if you want to have a threesome, just just say yes when I come out of the men's room. You know, it'd be fun for everybody.
All right, now I'm in.
Now I'm in
sexy,
as well.
Bring a little sexy back to the...
I like it.
Like JT was telling me the other day, bring sexy back to the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, so they're going to put her on a different float.
They're going to put her on a different float.
Now she's representing North Carolina?
Something unrelated to her whatsoever.
How much do we need Joan Jett to be in that parade?
Very
Come on. We have to find a float for
There's
her.
No parade without Joan Jett, Kevin.
Must find a float.
Joan has, however, said she still loves South Dakota, but she hates herself for loving it.
File.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Sevigny, 39 years old today. Actress Peeta Wilson. She was La Femme Nikita, you know.
She was.
43 years old. Duncan Sheik turns 44. He, of course, is a singer-songwriter and successful Broadway composer. I believe he did Spring Awakening, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that is correct.
That's correct.
44 years old today. Owen Wilson is 45. Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 51. Elizabeth Perkins is 53. Oscar Nunez from the successful Office TV show is 55. Kevin Nealon celebrates his 60th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
They sure are. Miss Double December 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking for you to represent the Kevin and Bean Show. Details coming up right after we hear that song we love so much.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Boobs.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Boobie!
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
Yeah!
Oh, the kids love Miss Double December, I'll tell you that.
They certainly do.
They are really fascinated by it.
Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December pageant is once again on the air for yet another new year. We are opening up krock.com right now, kevinandbean.com. You can go there right now, ladies, and you can submit your photos, fill out the application, and apply to be Miss Double December. By the way, Kevin, you were not at the Halloween party a few weeks ago that we had Queen Mary. You were sick that night,
yeah.
I know. There were two or three women there who came up to me and said, hey, when's the Miss Double December pageant happening? I'm going to go for it this year.
All right.
And I'm telling you, they were fantastic contestants. So this is going to be a good batch this year. What is it we are looking for from the ladies? What do they need to know ahead of heading to the website?
You have to be 21 or over. You complete your submission, and you send three photos of yourself. Now, make them current photos, if you don't mind. And I don't know how to say this in a nicer way, but since it is Miss Double December, I don't know, you're going to have to include your boobs in the photo. Like, we get so many photos of girls' faces, and that's great.
We want a good face.
I'm an eye guy myself. I love girls' eyes, right? That's super important to me. But it can't just be your pretty face, because it's Miss Double December.
Yeah, there are some shots from a great distance away sometimes.
Right.
It doesn't really tell us much. Maybe some that are a little bit too soft focused, like maybe behind too much gauze. I mean, we need to see you ladies, because we're basing our decision, you know, on how you are as Miss Double December.
Now, we started doing this, or at least this is our fake, false, lying reason that we give you to, so that everywhere we go, we have something for the listeners to look at, because Lord knows we're nothing to look at. So
right.
All of 2014, you will be our representative. You will go to, you know, Acoustic Christmas, you'll go to Weenie Roast, you'll go to April Foolishness, you'll go to any singles parties that we have, and any place that we go, you will accompany us, and you will be the eye candy.
I have to tell you that in the many, many, many years that we've been doing the Miss Double December pageant, almost all of the girls have ended up still liking us at the end of the year. There have been a few we turned, but most of, I mean, like,
we're
I think
able
we'll,
to turn most of them, but
I think we'll stay friends with Lux, for instance. I think she'll always be part of the Kevin
Lux
and Bean
is
family,
awesome.
The current Miss Double D. We love her so much. Joanna, same thing. We still hear from Christine, who was Miss Double December before that. Danielle, I don't remember at all, but I'm sure she was lovely. Melissa, who was Miss Double December like 12 years ago, yep. Still shows up at some of our events, and we still love her and stay in touch with her. Yasmin, Christy. I mean, we've had a lot of great Miss Double Decembers throughout the past, and they do become part of the family. And ladies, we would like this to be you this year. All right, so we're open for business right now. You fill out the application, you submit the photos. Please, no filters on the photos too, right? We're not making it's not an Instagram competition here. We really
right.
do want to see what you look like. So that happens, and then I guess we close the submission timeline is going to be a week from Wednesday, right?
Here's
so that's going to be right before Thanksgiving.
Here's the weird thing, and I know that it seems like we're rushing headlong into Christmas. That's because we are. Next week is Thanksgiving. Next Thursday.
Yeah.
A week from Thursday is Thanksgiving. So we're going to keep it open until that Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, a week from this Wednesday. And that's when we're going to close it. And then we'll pick the top 10 and give them to you on the Monday immediately following Thanksgiving, which we will be giving thanks for many of those photos.
Exactly. And we're going to be asking the Kevin and Bean listeners, obviously, to go to the site and cast their vote as to who they would like to see be Miss Double December 2014. Then we'll all be decided on Friday, December 13th. Once again, we're hooking up with our friends at the Slide Bar, the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton, who are once again graciously offering to be our host for this year. And that's going to be on Friday morning, December the 13th. And that is going to be a free live event that Kevin and Bean listeners can come out to and stay with us all day long. By the way, our show ends at 10. The party stays in full effect all day into the night down there at the Slide Bar.
So many people call in sick or just show up. There's just ditch work. And by 10 a.m., they're really just getting started.
And we'll be telling you a lot more about that live broadcast on December 13th as we get closer. But it is going to be, you know, you're going to be able to watch it if you can't come down in person in Fullerton. You'll be able to watch it at KROQ.com. If you are coming down, once again, we're going to be doing Toys for Tots with the U.S. Marines this year. Raise some toys for local kids. So, I mean, it really is. It's a fun tradition that we look forward to every year. But it all starts with you, ladies. So if you've got what it takes, and it can be real or enhanced, we don't care. Get on over to KevinandBean.com, and you, too, can apply to be Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December 2014. I mentioned Carl Urban from the new Almost Human TV show joins us in just a few minutes. Mike Tyson later on in the program. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. And we welcome in the band Against Me in the 9 o'clock hour. They just dropped a fantastic new song, and we'll talk to them about their new plans for their latest album and tour. That's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock.
First, we have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And
yes.
It's too many stories about animals, so we put them on the wheel. We spin the wheel. Wherever it lands, we try to find out some more information about that particular story. On the wheel today, the Florida crazy ants that eat electrical equipment.
Mm.
The man-faced feral cat mistaken for a mountain lion. I hope it lands on that one, because if it's got a man's face, why do people mistake it for a mountain lion?
That's going to be our first question.
Two-headed snapping turtle that doesn't get along with itself. Killer Chinese giant hornets. The tiger with the world's largest hairball. That does not sound so good. The Belgian coked-up racing pigeons. Did it. Got to get somebody working on the wheel. Did that
Come
one.
Come on, Chip. That's your job, is to manage the wheel.
Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo, who's been on here for about 7 years. The lucky dog who evaded dog catchers 92 times. And the giant Iranian rats.
Okay. All right. A lot of good choices there.
So let's get into the theme and then
it's yeah. time. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, spin it. Very excited. Come on, hairball.
Ah, it's the two-headed snapping turtle that doesn't get along with itself.
Yay!
Well, that's fine. That's a local animal living down in Venice Beach. There's a man named Todd Ray who lives in Venice who has, and I guess I didn't know this existed, the world's largest collection of two-headed animals.
And his latest acquisition is a snapping turtle with two heads. He has named them Thor and Loki. And apparently snapping turtles are animals that just don't get along with anybody. They have to be solitary creatures.
Yeah, they don't like each other. They don't like other ones. They don't like any other animals. Right.
So what's it like if you're a snapping turtle and you've got another snapping turtle head attached to you that's always trying to fight with you? That must be a nightmare. It must be exhausting to be Thor and Loki, I would imagine, right?
I wish we could call someone and find out what they think.
Well, let's ask producer Dave to light up Mr. Todd Ray, who owns the snapping turtles, and I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hi, Todd.
What?
This is Todd Ray. You own the snapping turtle store
in
Loki?
No, this is Todd Ray.
Wow.
No.
Wrong number?
This is Thor. Thor, the turtle.
Oh, it's Thor.
Oh, hi, Thor. How are you?
Thor. What do you want?
Well, we're just curious about the story. We heard about you being... What?
You're curious about the story.
Yes.
Don't give me anything else to do. I got enough problems of my own. Okay?
Why don't you shut up?
Why don't you shut up? I hate you.
No. Hey, take it easy, the two of you. Loki, are you there?
Yeah, he's here. I'm doing the talking.
All right. Okay. All right.
So one body.
I'm tired of you. Shut up. What? Wow. What do you want?
So there's one little turtle body under the shell, and then two heads come out where there should be one. And you guys.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, you figured it all out, how the two-headed turtle works, huh?
Right.
Yeah, there's one shell and two heads.
Right.
You know what the first hint was? Two-headed turtle.
You think we've clarified that enough?
No, I think everyone's confused. Oh, there's one shell and two heads come out from under it? Thanks for painting a picture.
Now, do you guys fight over everything? Food?
Yeah,
water?
Everything. Yeah, everything.
Not only are you dumb, you are ugly.
You are dumb and ugly. Shut up, I'm on the phone.
Talk to each other like that.
What?
Seriously.
So, are you close enough that you can bite each other? Because that seems like that could be dangerous. Like, you could end up killing each other.
Oh, are you close together? Yeah, we're two-headed. Our heads are right next to each other. That's
right.
Where heads go.
But do you
right next to. You know when you have one head?
Uh-huh.
Well, imagine one right next to it. Then you're two-headed, okay?
If it wouldn't hurt me, I would stab you right in the eye.
I would stab you in the eye if you'll shut up.
Wow.
Sometimes when we see unfortunate people that have body parts, they don't come out of the right spot.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like
they're off at angles.
Right or... Oh, okay. All right, Dr. Seuss. Tell me another story. You're fascinating. Oh, I'm riveted by you.
I hope you get shell cancer.
I hope you get shell cancer.
Don't talk to each other that way.
Don't talk to each other. Why don't you not talk to each other that way?
Have you guys considered therapy?
Yeah, we have considered therapy.
Okay.
If I could manage it, I would punch you right in the face.
I'll punch you in the face. If you don't shut up, I'm on the phone.
All right. Your owner, Todd Ray, says that if he can keep the turtles from literally snapping each other's heads off, that you could eventually weigh 150 pounds.
That's right. We're going to be huge. And the first president to come see is you. Hey, do you have two heads?
You're unbelievable. Will
you stop talking?
Stop talking.
Stop talking. You stop talking. Shut up.
This is exhausting.
What?
You know what? Why don't you just kill yourself?
Why don't
It'd
you
be worth
kill
it.
Yourself?
I don't mind. I'll die.
Okay,
I'll die.
If I die, you'll die.
To be
no,
done with
guys.
You.
Guys. Guys.
What?
Try to get along.
I'm going.
You're
leaving.
Going. I'm
you
leaving.
You can't leave.
Ow.
Thanks to the Kevin Bean listeners and K-Rock listeners who bought tickets for night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It sold out in just a couple of minutes on Friday at noon. Don't worry, you will still have chances to win them here on K-Rock. And all this week, we're giving away tickets to go see Pearl Jam. We have more for you before the end of the show to go see Pearl Jam this weekend at the LA Sports Arena. You can go to krock.com for all the details. So when I saw the pedigree involved in this new Almost Human show, that they had J.J. Abrams for starters, and then the guy who was the producer for Fringe was
sure.
the other guy who was producing this show, I said, I'm in. I got to check this out.
Right, but don't you have one big complaint, and that's that robots should only be women?
Yes, I do have that complaint, as a matter of fact.
That's what
but
I figured.
After episode 1 of Almost Human on Fox last night, they showed some previews of things that are coming up later on this season, and they're taking care of the sexy robots, Kevin. Those aren't coming later on in the season. We could not be more excited to welcome to the program Carl Urban, who is, of course, the star of Almost Human. Hey, Carl, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Why don't you start with the hot, sexy female robots in episode 1? Why are you teasing that that's still to come?
Well, let me just say, tonight's episode, your wish shall be granted.
Ah, already.
Tonight's episode, we are dealing with what we call sex bots.
Okay. Sex bots.
Now
right.
we're talking. Now we're in.
Now, this show is set 35 years in the future, right? Describe what choices were made, you know, for this TV show. Basically, you have to pretty much guess what life is going to be like then.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this show is they've got a bunch of researchers that have looked at this technology that's just around the corner. And, you know, we're putting that into the show, and it's scary, frightening, and pretty exciting about what's coming down the pike.
I was surprised to see that it was only 35 years in the future, because I don't know what city you guys are in on the show, Carl, but I mean, it looks like it's 150 years in the future. You've got flying cars and you've got buildings that go miles into the sky. I mean, it's crazy to think that much could ever happen in 35 years.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, you know, if you went back to, you know, the 1920s or 30s and said that, you know, man's going to land on the moon and in the 60s, you'd be laughed at, but it's pretty interesting to see, you know, how far the human race has come in such a short time. So I don't know. Anything's possible, right?
Well played. Well played.
No, you're right. I mean, technology is definitely speeding up. There's no question. So is this the type of show? I mean, you've done a fair amount of action in your life with Star Trek and everything else. Is this the type of show that's like making a movie every week, though, with the crazy stuff you have to do?
Yeah, it's an ambitious show, you know, and we're having a lot of fun making it. And, you know, we're pretty blessed. We've got the likes of Joel Wyman and, you know, J.J. Abrams on board. And, I mean, J.J.'s incredible. Such a talented director, writer, producer, and inventor of insane hair products. The man is phenomenal. He can do everything.
Let's talk about your partner on the show. So you've got a robot partner, as everyone is required to, that works on the police. And he is played by Michael Ealy, who's a terrific actor. And I'm watching the show last night, and he's so robot-like. I wanted to ask you, Carl, did they do something to make him appear more robot-like, like put something on his face or somehow make him look like an android? Or is that just his great acting that's bringing it to life?
I got to tell you, Michael Ealy is phenomenal. I mean, he is such a gifted actor, and that's everything you see is that's him bringing, you know, his just his magic to the table. We have so much fun making this show. We just laugh all day long, and I couldn't be more blessed to be working with him. Seriously,
he was the star of Sleeper Cell, one of the shows that I loved, and he was fantastic in that as well. But I'm with Bean. He has to have some kind of eye makeup or something going on, because he looks. It would seem like that would be a difficult acting job, to not act like a robot but just be a robot.
Yeah, well, I think that's the challenge that he faces, is that he is a robot that's, you know, almost, well, more human than myself in many regards. That's his programming, and so for him, I think that's the challenge, is how to imbue his character with, you know, enough robotic sensibilities to make him, you know, identifiable to the audience as a robot, but then again at the same time to throw that all away and just be human. And I think that's one of the strengths of the show, is that, you know, every week these characters learn from each other, and they learn about what it means to be human. When I first read the script, I got to tell you that the interaction between those characters is hilarious, and it only gets better as the show goes on.
It is weird. I mean, we talked about technology a little bit earlier. We have actor Carl Urban on the phone right now. We're talking about his show Almost Human, which episode 2, by the way, tonight airs at 8 o'clock on Fox. We are coming up with technology faster than some people think humans are able to decide what we should and shouldn't be doing with it. And robotics is kind of a scary area, because, I mean, there's one scene in the pilot last night, spoiler alert here, where you push a robot out of a car and he just gets blown into a billion pieces by getting hit by oncoming traffic. And there's still something in me as a human that is terrified to see something like that. And you have to remind yourself that these people aren't real, because they seem so real.
Now, that robot was a dick. You did the right thing.
Like, you know, if your toaster's malfunctioning or not burning your toast on a consistent basis, you're going to throw it out.
That's right. You take a drive, you go on the freeway, and you toss it right out.
Exactly. I guess what I'm saying is, I wonder if there's a point at which robots become too human-like that it becomes uncomfortable. You start having feelings for them, or you start making decisions based on them as equals rather than as machines.
Oh, hey, that's a great point. And I think that's something that we address in the show. And that's definitely the danger, you know, because it's pretty easy to lose perspective of the fact that you've got a walking laptop, you know, that you're working with, and you start to, you know, as you said, place, you know, I guess emotion upon these creations and start thinking of them quite differently.
But the reason that you toss that one out is because the robots, you know, at least certain robots, they play by the rules and they don't understand, you know, not turning in information on you of your weaknesses and stuff like that. Like, they don't get that. They don't enjoy that. And that's why the character that Michael plays is so good, because he actually has been programmed to have emotion.
Yeah, that's the fundamental difference. And, you know, again, as I said, it's interesting. Sometimes, like, he is the most sophisticated piece of technology on the planet. At the same time, sometimes when you're driving around in a car with him, it's like riding along with a six-year-old.
Well, the program could not have come along at a better time in geek culture, though. I mean, there's such an appetite for science fiction on TV right now. And with the pedigree that you have with the actors on this show and with the, you know, the producers that are making this show, I mean, I feel like you're in pretty good position. And I don't think we can let you go, Carl, without asking you a few words about Minka Kelly, who is one of your co-stars in the show. What's it like working with her?
Oh, she's fantastic. She's a lot of fun. And, you know, we've got some great stories with her coming up. She is hot.
I got to tell you, what? She's hot? What?
We hadn't even noticed.
She's hot?
You hadn't even noticed.
What? That's the only reason.
Official.
That's the only reason we're talking to you, Carl. You know that. We're trying to get to Minka Kelly.
You're using me to get to Minka.
That's correct.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, I hope she's asking about Kevin Bean a lot. You be sure to tell her what nice guys we are, okay, Carl?
I know you guys are like, you know, when I was down in L.A. filming Star Trek, I would listen to your guys' show every day on the way to work.
That's
you guys
right.
Yeah.
Well, you're very kind.
Very cool.
You're,
thank you.
Really appreciate it. Almost Human, two-night premiere. Last night it aired. I'm sure you can still catch that episode on demand or on the website. And then episode number two, which involves sex bots, by the way, is tonight at 8 on Fox. Great new show, Carl. So happy for you. And thank you for the time here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thanks very much, guys. Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Can't wait for that band night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It is 7:53.
If the commercials are to be believed and only winners get wings, Ralph, you got wings this weekend
wings.
With the Eagles, right?
Wings.
Kevin, wings for the Cardinals?
You know, the Cardinals have the exact same record as the 49ers.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Crazy, isn't
it? Super Bowl bound. That's what I'm saying.
Seahawks, of course, got wings. That's pretty good. Chips Dolphins got wings. How about you, Beer Mug? How'd your Chargers do?
Not so much.
What?
So the person who wants wings more than any of us, Beer Mug, is the one who's over there hungry in the corner today.
Wings
How about that?
Wings are for winners.
That's right.
Wings are for winners. Exactly.
Dave's starving. Starving. Dave's starving.
He is starving, yeah.
Been starving all
dry
season.
Spell.
The
yeah.
Bucks. His Falcons got beat by the Bucks. Nobody gets beat by the Bucks.
That's got to hurt.
Although the Dolphins did, didn't they?
I don't know.
Last
remember.
Week.
Maybe.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network recaps it all for us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll talk to Mike Tyson as well. First, though, Ralph has the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Hey, Breaking Bad fans. Boo-hoo-hoo, our show's over. There's still nothing else for me to watch. Wrong. Suck it up. Put on your big boy pants.
What is there?
There's no half measures. The documentary about creating the final season of Breaking Bad.
Say what?
That's right, a documentary showing you how they created the final season of Breaking Bad. Here,
didn't they write it and then film it? Isn't that how they created it?
You don't know, man.
You are
open
such
up a blog.
A novice.
Would you like to see it? Why not? I've got a pair of passes to the screening and then the Q&A following. A very special screening of No Half Measures, creating the final season of Breaking Bad. It's all happening November the 25th at the Grove Pacific Theater. You'll also get a copy of Breaking Bad, the final season on Blu-ray. Plus, you'll qualify to win Breaking Bad, the complete series, the Blu-ray barrel set, and you'll get a spot in line to get it signed by Vince Gilligan, Bryan Cranston, and other members of the cast.
And I think you win meth.
You don't win any meth.
I think that's part of
you
it.
You don't win meth.
Meth
not included.
I'll check.
If you'd like to attend, and if you're a Breaking Bad fan, this is for you. Four winners right now, 1-800-520-1067. Four winners will get a pair of passes to attend the screening and Q&A of No Half Measures. Did you see the alternative ending to the series?
I didn't see it, no.
You haven't seen it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to check it out.
Is it good? Is it real?
No.
That was my first, okay.
No, it's an homage to, remember the second
Newhart series where he played the innkeeper in Vermont and he had like a bed and breakfast and everything.
Right.
And at the end of that long-running series, he's hit in the head by a golf ball and he wakes up. And he wakes up next to his wife, Suzanne Plachette, from the very first Newhart series. And the whole thing was a dream. And he's like describing to his wife what happened. He's like, I was in this crazy bread and breakfast in Vermont and it was nuts. And she's like, oh, Bob, go back to sleep. Well, he does, Bryan Cranston does that with his TV wife from Malcolm in the Middle.
Funny.
He wakes up from a nightmare and say, oh, honey, it was horrible. I was a meth dealer, and I had a shaved head and a goatee, and I wore a hat all the time. And he describes pretty much everything that happened on the show. It's very charming and entertaining.
And they really filmed
it, too. Jane Kaczmarek, who played his wife on Malcolm in the Middle, comes back and plays his wife.
That's
in
funny.
The sequence, yeah. It's very, very charming. So check that out online. Do yourself a favor. I want to give a special shout-out to Nick Cannon. Who can you imagine trying to clean up after Mariah Carey?
No.
All the time, the madness that she surrounds herself with?
No, that's got to be a nightmare.
He's stepping up trying to make her seem like less of a bitch this week, which I thought was really sweet of Nick. He's a good husband. Mariah Carey, I told you last week, was making comments about her time on American Idol.
Yeah.
She was paid like, I don't know, $13, $15 million, whatever it was, for one season. He said she'd never go back because, and I quote, working on American Idol was like going to work every day in hell with Satan.
Satan pays well.
Apparently he does, yeah. At the time, we were suggesting either it was probably a slam at Nicki Minaj.
Right.
She was sharing the panel with, and famously, they fought like cats and dogs. Well, Nick Cannon's out to set the story straight. He's saying the comments weren't specifically aimed at Nicki Minaj. Here's his quote, and if you have any idea what he's talking about, I'll pay you a dollar.
Okay.
I don't even think it's about the people on the panel. If you pay attention to what she's saying, she said it's about when someone tells you something and paints a picture one way, and that's not the case.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's the end of it?
Yeah.
He's suggesting that the job wasn't what she was told ahead of time it would be like in terms of working conditions or hours or something?
I have no idea. No one knows what the hell that
means. Nobody gets a dollar. Sorry.
But, yeah.
Look, I think anyone who signs up to be a judge on American Idol pretty much knows that you travel around and you sit in a chair and you watch people sing and you make comments and you make a TV show.
I would think by now you would know that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of mystery in what that job is.
And how long could the hours be? You show up and they sing in front of you. Then you go home.
Right. And by the way, when you watch that show and 20,000 people show up, the judges only see 50 of them.
Right.
I mean, they whittle them down to just a few to get them in and out of there as quickly as possible.
Right. Maybe the audition days are long because you probably sit through a bunch of them before you go home. But yeah. Seriously.
But I'm sorry, how much did you get paid?
I think it was like $15 million.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Nick Cannon did not clear that up for me.
Well. I'm surprised because he's very articulate.
He's got an impossible job on his hands.
Very intelligent. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Sevigny is 39 years old today. Actress Peta Wilson turns 43. Singer-songwriter, Broadway composer Duncan Sheik is 44. Owen Wilson.
Owen!
He's 45 years old today. Kirk Hammett of Metallica turns 51. Elizabeth Perkins is 53 years old today. Oscar Nunez from The Office turns 55. Kevin Nealon. He's 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Wanted to thank everybody that went to friendsandhelpers.org to help us out with our charity for abused women and children. A lot of people called. They always do. Whenever we mention it on K-Rock, there's always a big response. Mm-hmm. And people go to the site and they can adopt a family. These are for abused women and children who basically run in the middle of the night. They leave a bad situation. They go to a shelter. And then we have a system where we can ask exactly what the moms and the kids want for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever for the holidays. And then you can adopt a family and make sure that they get exactly what they want. And then I don't know if you can imagine being a parent and not being able to give your kid anything at Christmas.
I think you just tell them that there is no Santa Claus. I think that's how you get out of that one.
Honestly, that would just be horrific.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
So my wife and a bunch of fantastic volunteers run this charity. I am just the spokesmodel.
Well, you're just the pretty face.
Right, exactly. They need a pretty face to go along with it. But if you go to friendsandhelpers.org, you can either adopt a stocking, which is $25, or $5, $10, whatever you can help is fantastic. Or you can adopt a family, and it's very, very much appreciated, especially at this time in the holidays.
How are the Kevin and Bean listeners coming through? Are you close
really
to your
amazing
goal, or do you still need a lot of help?
Well, we have between 100 and 200 families left. But considering how many families we started out with, It's been an amazing, amazing result. And I do want to say this because I know a lot of people ask for charity. And if it's not your thing, that's okay. That's cool. You can just check it out. If your thing is animals or something, just do whatever your heart tells you to do. Certain people will be drawn to this charity, and those people will help. And that's fantastic. That's all we expect. We don't expect everybody to.
Friendsandhelpers.org is where that is. And if you can't remember that, you can just check it out at kevinandbean.com. We have a link to the page as well. All right. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Then we'll talk to the champ. Mike Tyson is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, everyone is talking about this viral video ad for Volvo, I guess for their suspension in their Volvo trucks. It's had over 8 million hits already on YouTube. It just debuted last week, by the way. And part of the reason people are talking about it is because it involves Jean-Claude Van Damme, who, by the way, I thought he was like 70 by now. Doesn't it seem like Jean-Claude Van Damme has been a star your whole life?
Yeah, it seems like when I was born, he was 50.
Right. He's only 53 now.
Wow.
So he must have been like 11 when we first started seeing him kick ass as the muscles from Brussels, because it's crazy that he's only 53. But this ad has created a lot of talk, especially from people who say, how did they do it? What are the special effects involved in Jean-Claude Van Damme standing between two trucks while they are driving backwards and they move further apart so that his legs – so he basically is doing the splits on trucks that are moving.
Almost an inverted splits. I mean, yes. It's almost that far.
It is an insane ad. Here's a little bit of the setup for it, and then we'll talk a little bit about how they did this ad, which, by the way, there were some people when it first came out who said, hey, that's fake. There's no way he really did that.
We saw this in the office on the Friday, and we were all saying that. There was about half the people were going, no possible way, and the other half were going, of course it's real.
It turns out it is real, and wait till you hear how they did it. Here's Jean-Claude Van Damme at the beginning of the ad.
I've had my ups and downs. My fair share of bumpy roads and heavy winds. That's what made me what I am today. Now I stand here before you.
About to get ripped apart.
What you see is a body crafted to perfection. A pair of legs engineered to defy the laws of physics.
Take it easy.
And a mindset to master the most epic of splits.
So the camera is on Jean-Claude Van Damme, and by the way, he looks like he's standing completely still. He's not moving, he's not shaking at all, which, by the way, is exactly the point of this, is to show how smooth the ride is with these Volvo shocks, right? And then as the camera pulls away, you see that he is standing between two big rigs.
You can see.
By the way, Andy, good choice, right? Good choice for this ad. The big rigs are driving backwards, and as we mentioned, they start to split apart so that he starts to split apart. And if they kept going, he would be ripped from limb to limb. I mean, it does seem like, look, for whatever safety measures they had in effect, if those trucks kept going apart, he would have been ripped apart.
Another inch. It looks like he would have just split right down the middle.
Yeah, it does. It does look like he does the splits about as far as you could do the splits and not, you know, start having your legs disjointed or something like that. So it turns out that Volvo is coming clean on this, and they're saying, yes, it is. It's absolutely true. First of all, he was hooked to safety lines that you cannot see in the film. He does have invisible safety lines that are running down his pants and attached to the truck, which is fine. It makes it a little harder.
I've got a safety line running down my pants.
It makes it a little harder to fall, but it also puts you in a terrible position if you can't fall if the trucks move too far apart. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Now, was he strapped in? Did he have his feet strapped in?
Each foot was on a small platform that was built on the truck's side mirrors. His feet are not secured to the mirrors, according to the video director, Andreas Nilsson. By the way, if you have not yet seen this video, we did put it up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We also tweeted it out from at Kevin and Bean. It's pretty incredible. We had him rigged so that if he would fall off, he would not die, obviously. We didn't want to be responsible for killing the muscles from Brussels. Now, when I first saw that the trucks were moving backwards and started thinking about it, I thought it was because that way he can't get run over by the trucks if he falls. I thought that's why they were going backwards.
I don't think they were going fast enough, were they? For him to get run over without them being able to...
Even if they're going 25 miles an hour and you're at the front of them and you fall, you could easily flip and get hit by one of those wheels that's going by you.
That would not have been as good an ad.
Would have been a terrible way to end the ad. The director says that we decided to have it go in reverse instead of forward. We thought it would be the ultimate test to have the trucks go in reverse with someone standing on the side mirrors performing a side split, because it's more difficult to do in reverse. That's why the trucks are driving backwards. But if anyone could do it, we knew it would be Jean-Claude Van Damme. This is also pretty remarkable.
They had one shot to film this. They did lots of rehearsal with stunt coordinators, but Jean-Claude Van Damme did this ad that we've now seen, that millions of people have seen around the world, in one take off an airstrip in Spain, just south of Madrid. They rehearsed the stunt for 3 days, but when it came time for Jean-Claude Van Damme to do it, the final version had to be completed within a just 15-minute window from 8.05 a.m. to 8.20 a.m. when the sunlight was just right.
You do sort of get the feeling while you're watching, because they move kind of slowly apart as they go, a little more, a little more, a little more. You sort of get the feeling like he's going to snap.
Right.
Listen, I've seen him do the splits before. I know he's perfectly capable of it, but he's going to snap.
How does he stay so calm and so – I mean, I guess that's why he's Jean-Claude Van Damme and we're not. But it's amazing to me to see how calm he is and how he just doesn't move. Like not a – he doesn't blink even. He just is standing there like a statue on these trucks while they move. I thought this was funny. This is from the behind-the-scenes video of Jean-Claude Van Damme being introduced to the stunt coordinator, and it is explained to him how the trick is going to work, and we'll see how cool he is.
So with this stunt, we will demonstrate steering precision and directional stability.
Got you.
We will drive backwards. So what will happen is that I will demonstrate on these two model trucks.
All right, so they pull out some little trucks and show them how it's going to go.
The trucks will be placed closely together, and you will be standing on the side mirrors, 1 foot on each mirror.
Right.
The trucks will move backwards. After a while, they will slowly separate.
By the way, imagine if you're this guy showing up for a commercial. Yeah, they're going to pay me a lot of money. What do I have to do? And then they're explaining to you what it is you have to do.
So these trucks are going to start going apart.
Right.
And you're going to have a foot on each one.
Right.
And you will perform one of your famous splits with 1 foot on each side mirror.
On each side mirror of each truck.
Yes.
And they're going to open up.
They're going to open up slowly, so you have plenty of time to perform the split.
Yeah, but wait a second. I mean, if they keep on opening up, I can fall down to the ground.
But
so they have.
After a while, they will stop opening up and they will keep the distance.
After a while.
Okay.
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 Says, All right. I'm ready to climb on up.
Enough said. Let's do it.
It's a pretty remarkable ad. You got to admit. I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme has not exactly been on my radar lately.
Nope.
I now love him.
And I need to buy one of these Volvo FM trucks. I have no idea why, but they steer well. Arctic Monkeys on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 8.
Why is that song so good, by the way?
I don't know that there's an answer to that.
Hey, Mike Tyson joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Abeen Show and the band Against Me in the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, Monday means we catch up with Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the League Live on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, everybody.
I understand you were at that big USC win. Did you stay to the end of the game on Saturday?
I stayed to the end. I did not stay to rush the field, as I am an adult, but the... after the kick, I turned to my friend, and after Andre Hadari sprinting down to the other end zone and celebrating, I said, all right, here's what we're doing. We are walking up the steps right now. We are watching the kickoff from the entrance to the tunnel, and as soon as this thing is over, we are out of here. Because at that point, the students, whomever, were already kind of pushing their way down the steps because they knew what they were going to do.
Right,
and said, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. We don't need to see you on TMZ this morning with goalposts over your head or something, right?
Come on, I would love that.
Oh, no. And I think I'm past my field rushing day.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, my takeaway from the NFL week number 11 is that it's a really long season, and teams that I thought were completely done for the season, like the Steelers, like the Giants, still have some life in them, and it's turning into kind of an interesting playoff picture, isn't it?
Well, look, the Steelers and Giants are both 4-6. You are truly never out of it. And if you're the Giants, you're never out of it because the NFC East is terrible. And if you don't believe me, ask London Fletcher of the Redskins, who last week said, quote, the NFC East is terrible, end quote. And he plays in it. And the Giants, they were 0-6, and now they're 4-6.
Yeah.
And because the Cowboys are so mediocre, and the Eagles are so mediocre, and the Redskins just aren't good. They're not mediocre. They're just not good. Then they're in it. And the Steelers should be banned from the league for wearing their Gangs of New York uniforms again.
Oh, however, my God, were those flashback uniforms horrific.
They were bumblebees. It looked like a swarm of bees on the field. They I thought it was hilarious.
They just looked stupid. You thought it was hilarious because you're not a fan of theirs, probably.
No, I think they're that ugly.
Oh, they are that ugly.
I mean, they're, forget about whether or not I'm rooting for them. They're just horrendous uniforms. They should be thrown back is the joke. Oh, they're throwback. I get it. Throwback. Yeah, they're just that bad. I mean, I can't imagine, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they fly off the shelves in Pittsburgh, but I cannot imagine that people go buy them.
No, I can't either.
It did kind of look like the uniforms that in the old movies from the 30s, like a guy in jail would wear, like the black and white stripes in jail. It was kind of that sort of thing.
I think it looks like DiCaprio and what's-his-face in Gangs of New York.
Yeah, totally, Tim. The big game of the weekend, the marquee matchup that everybody was most looking forward to, and I haven't seen the ratings yet for NBC last night, but I'm sure they were huge, what turned out to be a fairly close game was Denver versus Kansas City. Were you surprised the way it came down, or do you think this is the week we were waiting for the Chiefs to show their weakness?
Yes and yes. This is the week that Denver was going to beat them. I think I answered yes to both questions, even though I only meant yes to the last question. Kansas City has an offense that is not necessarily ready for prime time, and Denver was at home. Denver is the better team here.
Right.
Kansas City has the better defense, period. But I just find it remarkable that anyone thought that the Super Bowl was going to go, the road to the Super Bowl was going to go through Kansas City. It is not. Denver has Peyton Manning, and Kansas City has Alex Smith. And while Kansas City might have a defense and a running game and all those nice things, it's still in this league, and crunch time comes down to the quarterback, and Denver has the better quarterback. Now, they play again in 2 weeks in Kansas City.
Right.
So I reserve the right to throw everything I just said out the window.
Can't do that!
Kansas City. And Peyton Manning, again, is playing on one leg. And did you see the close-up? It's like a robot leg. I mean, they had so many things wrapped up around his leg. I mean, it's like you cut him and you would see wires. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, he's held together by duct tape, no question.
Yeah, so if they go to Kansas City, they might beat him up in a couple of weeks. And by the way, I don't know if you caught this on NBC last night. He plays Tom Brady next week.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing they advertised. Did you see the picture of Tom Brady? I tweeted it. That NBC put up, like, the Brady-Manning thing.
It looked like one of the scariest Dexter photos ever.
It did. It looked like the creepy season preview Dexter, like, billboard that you'd see when you leave LAX on Sepulveda. Right? Where he's kind of staring down at you.
Yep. Yeah, it was definitely very Hollywood. One more thing on the matchup next week between the Patriots and the Broncos, and that is that Wes Welker, as of now, is probably not going to be playing. He got hurt yesterday, right?
He got a concussion. There is no guarantee he won't play. It means that he has to go through the NFL concussion protocol. They have very rigid steps set up for him to be cleared to be back on the field. Has to be seen by an independent neurologist and so on and so forth before he can be cleared. There are guys that can clear it in a week. It is not automatic that if you leave a game with a concussion that you cannot play next week, but he certainly has hurdles to get over before he can get back on the field.
He has to run hurdles, too? That's crazy.
He has to run hurdles and run backwards on a horse.
Yeah. Andrew Siciliano is the host of Around the League Live. You'll see him this afternoon at 3 on the NFL Network with a preview of tonight's Patriots game versus Carolina and so much more action from over the weekend. Andrew, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on as usual.
Goodbye, guys.
As you know, we have two big nights of music coming up at the Shrine Auditorium on December 7th and 8th this year. That is the new home of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Tickets are sold out for both nights. Thank you for that. We're raising a lot of money for some great local charities with your ticket sales. And we're trying to raise a little bit of money for the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines as well, with something we announced just past Friday we want to remind you is still going on. Kevin, the details, please.
Go to krock.com. You can bid on one of 10 ultimate K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas experiences. The highest bid for each experience gets two sold-out tickets in the pit. You also get VIP artist access passes. That's not just VIP, but when you put the artist in there, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much you can get anywhere you want to go.
And you get to introduce a band at the show. So 100% of the proceeds from that goes to the Red Cross Disaster Relief to help with the devastation in the Philippines. Go to krock.com for all of the details on that.
So it's kind of like working for K-Rock for the night. You get to roam around backstage. You get to go up on stage. You get to meet the artists. You get to hobnob with the celebs. It's pretty, good time. By the way, high bid is around $1,400 right now for each night. That's the top bid right now for night number one and for night number two. So there's going to be five pairs of tickets for each night. So if you want to get in on that, have the ultimate rock and roll experience, go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for all the details for this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Well, there's a lot of Mike Tyson in our life these days, you guys. The special just debuted on HBO this past weekend. This was filmed with Iron Mike on Broadway, directed by Spike Lee. And, of course, Mike's book is finally out. People have been asking him for a long time to write an autobiography, and he has. It is called Undisputed Truth, just published last Tuesday. And we are always excited to talk to Mike, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Tyson, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on? What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Mike Tyson, author. How awesome is that?
Man, I'm just grateful to be able to be anything nowadays.
Are you so tired of talking about Mike Tyson, thinking about Mike Tyson, writing about Mike Tyson at this point?
Hey, it is pretty different, though, now that you think about it. I'm just very grateful I'm able to do it.
How do you feel that you were? Like, I would be terrible at trying to sit down and write the story of my life because I just don't remember that many details. How about you, Mike? What kind of memory do you have?
I have a good memory. I don't remember particularly everything because, you know, I've done a lot of drugs and stuff. But I have a pretty good memory. I remember things that happened 99 BC. Things that happened recently, I forget.
Oh, is that right? Did you have to contact friends and or associates to ask them, like, give me some details about such and such? I want to write about it, but I don't remember all that went on.
Yeah, every now and then I do that, yes.
Was it a painful experience to go back and revisit some of the darkest chapters of your life? Things like being in prison, things like being on drugs, losing a child, those sorts of things. A lot of people would not want to revisit.
That wasn't the stuff. I could talk about that stuff when I was a kid. That's pretty... that was pretty horrific stuff to think about when I was a kid being bullied and my mother, my family's lifestyle and that kind of stuff.
When you see so much in the news these days about bullying being a real front and center issue, it must make you pretty happy to think that now people are taking it seriously, because back then they just looked at people that were bullied as just being weak and they should fight back.
Absolutely. But you know, that's what we breed in this country. You know, that's what we are as a nation. That's what we are. We police other countries. We tell people what to do. If they don't do what we do, we violate them. And that's just something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. Somebody needs to be accountable. People need to go to class. I just don't know, because I'm a neophyte in this particular position, and maybe politicians know more about this than I do, which I'm sure. So something needs to be done.
Politicians don't know more about anything than you do, Mike Tyson.
Well, they always talk as if they do.
Oh, sure, they sound like it.
How do you control your anger impulses now when you do feel like that?
Hey, that's just not what I'm interested in doing. And the only thing I'm interested in doing right now is just care of my family and is being responsible and being present. That's what I'm very grateful for, to be able to be present today.
Is it fun to be Mike Tyson right now?
It's just fun to be conscious and present about my past mistakes and not allow my past to imprison me and prevent me from being the man I want to be in the future and in the present.
How's your sobriety right now, Mike? You kind of surprised people a couple of weeks ago when you said that you have not been sober for as long as we thought you had.
93 days, and I was sober for 4 years, but a week before that incident, when I was discussing it with you guys, I had some drinks and stuff.
That's a never-ending battle, isn't it? You say 4 years, and a lot of people go, "Well, he's got it now." There's no such thing.
Listen, you got 40 years and stuff. It's really crazy. It's just really crazy, and I'm not going to say I'm gonna beat this. I'm just one day at a time. This stuff is stronger than I ever could imagine. Because, you know, when you get high and you drink, you know, you're never high when you think about it. You're normally sober in your right frame of mind and right frame of thinking, but something happened.
Right.
A lot of people were surprised, Mike, when you did your one-man show on stage here in Los Angeles and then took it to Broadway, with how good it was. Were you surprised at how easy it was for you to stand up on stage and talk for 90 minutes straight?
Well, I like entertaining people, and I'm a ham when it comes to that. And I'm good at being objective about myself, so I look at it as if I'm an actor or entertainer portraying a guy named Mike Tyson. Because if I ever did it as Mike Tyson, and I get emotional, I start feeling sorry for myself, my mom's and my family didn't care, but I'm poor and uneducated, I might start crying because that's what happened to one of my. When I was doing it with Spike at first, so I have to be objective in my life. That's the only way I could succeed in life, is always not to be in my head.
Sort of to talk about Mike Tyson as if he's somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, are you in pretty good shape financially now as a result of the last few years and doing things like these projects? Are you going to be okay?
I'm always being debt because I made some really, really bad mistakes in my life. But what I realized in life, I don't need $500 million to live and support my family. I'm just doing great as I am now. You know, I'm not going to need all that money in life. And that would have been awesome to have it, and now that I'm capable of knowing what to do with it. But I'm just real grateful that I'm doing what I'm doing now in my life. Because when I had all that money, I couldn't get anything done. Too many people around, too many people in my ear, too many people tearing me apart.
Right.
And I'm very grateful to be in the position and be healthy and to be living and just to be a better man than I know I could always have been.
Did you just say that you're always going to be in debt?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be a little crushing.
Hey, no. I'm just happy that I have my family. Nothing else matters. If I was homeless and I lived on the streets, if I just had my family and lived in a little room, that's all I really care about these days.
I don't know, Mike. It doesn't sound as cool as having a tiger.
Well, you know, that's okay. At least I had one.
At least you had one. Exactly. You can turn over to HBO. They're running it throughout the month. Mike Tyson's one-man show, Undisputed Truth, directed by Spike Lee. But you should really pick up the book because Mike goes into a lot more detail about his remarkable, remarkable life. And that is also called Undisputed Truth. It's available online and in stores everywhere. Mike, we always enjoy the time when we have to spend with you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you coming on again today.
Thank you for allowing me to really thank you guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Donna, it is 8:54 now.
The band Against Me is in town. Sold out show at the Troubadour tonight. We are happy to welcome them to K-Rock coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Every band is against you, by the way, Bean.
How dare
Every
you?
Time they come through here, they always say that. Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to give a special Ralph Garman salute.
Yeah!
Wait, is that a thing?
It's a new thing. Okay. Ralph Garman salute. To Detroit area resident Alan Markovitz. Alan is a strip club owner, 59 years old.
Okay.
Recently divorced.
All right.
He and his ex-wife split up. He is married for 2 years to this young lady. She had an affair. He found out about it. They got a divorce. So Alan did what any mature 59-year-old man would do who's trying to move on and rebuild his life. He bought the home next door to his ex-wife erected a giant middle finger statue in the backyard facing her home. A 12-foot-high statue of the middle finger is not only pointed at her home, which is immediately next door, but illuminated at night by a large spotlight.
Love it.
Markovitz unveiled the sculpture to loud cheers at a party of his friends last week. So, well done, Alan. Well done to you. Way to move on, buddy. Way to get your act together and let that ugliness just stay in your past. Bought the house so we could erect a 12-foot-tall finger. Giving her the middle finger.
Very responsible.
I like it.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from over the weekend. Thor, The Dark World. Number one again at the box office this weekend, $38.5 million. So, The Best Man Holiday, in its debut, almost unseated Thor at number one, $30.6 million. Big, big turnout for the Best Man franchise. It appeals to a particular audience. And
which one is that, Ralph?
They show up in
particular audience.
Well, African Americans, primarily.
Okay. Yeah,
big fans of that series. Las Vegas. Third at the box office.
That appeals to old people.
To old
right?
people, right?
Come on, man.
I guarantee my dad went to see that and loved it.
I hope so. I hope he did. I hope somebody in your family loves something. Is that just a dark, dark soul that you have?
You do have a black soul.
Free Birds. That's the turkey movie. So Thanksgiving's coming around. They're turkeys.
Because they're freeing. They're going back in time and freeing themselves.
They're going back in time.
I don't know what
the they travel is. Through time.
I don't know
I'm going to see it. If they're
yeah,
time,
they go back in time.
If they're time traveling turkeys,
I
I'm
think
going.
They are.
I'm going. I had no idea that's what
it's
about.
I'm not positive, but no, I think that's it.
Someone do some research. Find these turkeys right. travel through time. Because if they're time traveling turkeys,
they are.
I'm going to this movie. Jackass presents Bad Grandpa, fifth at the box office. Then Gravity, Ender's Game, 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, and About Time. Now, About Time, I know for a fact it's about time travel.
Okay, good.
But I don't think it's about turkeys. Miranda Kerr.
Yeah.
Supermodel, Victoria's Secret.
She could eat,
fashion show model.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, she could eat. She's
yeah.
a little thin, right?
She's too thin, yeah.
And yet, why have we busted her for posting several photos of herself on her Instagram account that have been photoshopped?
Who's doing the photoshopping?
She did! She's posting what? Photoshopped versions of photos of herself on Instagram.
What?
But can't even trust Instagram anymore.
What?
Here's the thing. She posted a picture on Instagram of a picture of her backstage at the Victoria's Secret fashion show last week.
Right.
And her already thin waist was shaved down into almost Barbie doll proportions.
She made herself thinner?
Then somebody saw the actual photograph online and looked at her, the one she posted, and it's obviously been doctored in a fake.
What?
What?
She was busted.
What? I'm just about out of words.
Then, when she got busted, she explained to the her fans on her Instagram.
What?
Here's the original Victoria's Secret image. When I reposted the photo last week, I screen grabbed it off the internet where I was working in Japan. I had no idea it was photoshopped. All good intentions. Sorry for the confusion.
What?
But fans have said they've since seen other photographs that have been doctored on her Instagram account. So she is that insecure that she has to put up selfies that have been photoshopped?
What was that?
What?
I'm just saying, what kind of world do we live in? One of the most beautiful supermodels in the world feels the need to Photoshop her personal pictures to make herself look better.
What's up with that?
And I don't think she looks too skinny the way she is.
Yes! Would you and millionaires ever digitally alter your own selfie that you posted on
Absolutely,
your
Instagram? Absolutely, I would. Of course.
Well, then why post a picture?
Because I hate the way
hate.
I look.
But then why post a picture?
Look at her, though.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so, because I'm saying it.
What?
What the f***?
And,
what?
Apparently, Kris Jenner has plans to make her daughter Kendall Jenner a pop star.
Really?
What? What a surprise.
Star Magazine is reporting that Kris knows full well that Kendall can't sing.
What?
What she thinks, given the current climate of pop stars that all lip sync to pre-recorded doctored tracks anyway, it doesn't really matter, and she thinks Kendall could be the next Selena Gomez.
What the what?
So, that's what we have in store, a new Kendall Jenner album. Look forward to that.
What happened?
What's up?
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays.
We may have too many drops.
Think? Comedian Kevin Nealon, comedian and fine actor as well, 60 years old today.
Loved him so much in Weeds.
Terrific performances
so
on
great.
That show. Oscar Nunez, another good actor from The Office. How funny was he on that show? 55 years old today. Elizabeth Perkins, boy, a lot of good actors born on the 18th. She's 53. Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 51. Owen Wilson. Owen!
Different, not the same Owen.
Oh, he is 45 years old today. The Butterscotch Stallion. Duncan Sheik from Broadway, of course, with Spring Awakenings, but also a singer-songwriter in his own right. 44 years old today. Peter Wilson turns 43 and Chloe 70. Celebrates her 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, in addition to the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows that we thank you again for selling out with night number two just going up this past Friday, we also have tickets for Pearl Jam this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can win tickets to go see them at the Sports Arena. And we're going to talk about another sold-out show tonight at the Troubadour. The band Against Me is in town. And Laura Jane Grace and James Bowman from the band join us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, you guys. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Let me start with you, Lauren, and ask, why can't you keep band members in Against Me? And James, have you no shame? How are you the guy who always says, no, you guys are quitting? All right, I'm still staying.
Oh, man.
Well, me and James are life partners. We've known each other since
the first day of high school. Really?
Yeah.
Long
time.
It's actually because of James. People leave because of James.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. Is that frustrating, though? I mean, because we all know that you know that being in a band is a lot of it has to do with the chemistry of the players. You know, they get together and they create something that's unique. Is it frustrating for you, Laura, to have so many people kind of come and go throughout the years?
I mean, there's definitely been circumstances that were less than ideal timing sometimes when stuff happens, but, you know, it's supposed to be kind of fluid, and if the chemistry stops being there, then it's time to move on, and you don't want to try and force it to make it happen. And I will say, too, that it's like, you know, we have gone through a lot of lineup changes and everything like that, but I really believe that the lineup we have right now is the strongest that the band has ever had, and it's definitely the strongest rhythm section for sure.
Wow, that's great. So you're playing tonight at the Troubadour. That show is sold out, and that's got to be very special for any band, particularly growing up in Florida. You know, you hear about Los Angeles, and now you're here, and you're playing a sold-out show at the Troub. That's cool.
Very cool, very cool.
And your new record is coming out on January 21st. It's called Transgender Dysphoria Blues. So you are attacking the elephant in the room just head on.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, people write what they know. Tell me about what you sat down to accomplish when you wrote this this album.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, writing has always been really cathartic and where I turn to work out, you know, whatever I'm going through in life. I've dealt with gender dysphoria for my whole life and made the decision to transition a couple years ago. And that's really what the record is about, was kind of, you know, about the experiences leading up to deciding to transition, really.
So you feel like that when you're a little kid as well. You just don't do anything about it.
My earliest memories are gender dysphoria related, for sure. Mm-hmm.
How common is that, Laura? Is that something that millions of people have? Hundreds of thousands? What are the numbers like, if they know?
I mean, it's very common, but I don't know if, you know, you could get accurate numbers, because I don't know if everyone is probably open with that fact, you know?
It causes a crap storm in your life, I imagine.
Right.
Well, it definitely flips it upside down, yeah, for sure.
Do we know how many in America, how many people have gone to the step that you have, which is to transgender?
I do not know the statistics off the top of my head. No.
Was there anybody that you could look up to, or anybody who could be a role model for you to kind of follow the path when you decided to make the transition, or were you kind of on your own and just getting what you could off the internet?
Well, I mean, the internet definitely, you know, became a great asset. And when you're younger, there isn't that resource, you really don't know what's going on, you know? And when I was, you know, a kid, or when I was in middle school or whatever, like, you know, I didn't know the word transgender even, you know? But as I've gotten older, I mean, there definitely have been role models. And I mean, I remember even recently, like leading up to deciding to transition, like Mina Caputo, who used to play in a band called Life of Agony, was someone who I saw publicly come out and decide to transition, and was definitely an inspiration. But there's been many people along the way, for sure.
Have you talked to Seacrest? Because I think he's somewhere in the process. I can't tell which direction.
I don't have his number.
Let me ask you, James, what was it like for you? I mean, this was a heavy meeting, I guess, at one point when your former lead singer and best friend Tom comes to you and says, hey, it's a new ball game here. How did you process it?
It's a ball-less game. Sorry.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Back to you.
Yeah. I really wasn't surprised, actually. I don't know why, but I don't know.
Well, you've known him pretty much your whole life, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, since I was like 14. So I don't know. The signs have always been there, I guess, if you listen to lyrics and stuff of songs. And I think just it being like put in my face, like this is what I'm going through and this is what's happening, it really wasn't shocking or surprising in any way.
Right. And Laura, I fully understand why you needed to do what you needed to do and totally support that. But from a business perspective, you must have had some real concerns about what the future of Against Me would be at that point. Like, how is this going to affect our fans?
Yeah, it wasn't really something that I thought about, just because for me it was an issue of survival, you know? That was definitely – I feel like I didn't really have an option also to not come out and fully embrace it, that it would have been more detrimental to start to transition without being open that I was transitioning, that people mm-hmm. would have probably been more homophobic or transphobic if they had seen signs, you know.
That it would have been worse on you had you not admitted it up front.
For sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what was the reaction like from your fans? I mean, you've got a big, you know, large fan base around the world. I'm sure you heard a wide variety of opinions, but overall, were they positive and supportive of you?
Overwhelmingly positive and supportive, for sure. Uh-huh.
Wow, that's fantastic. People will ask, and I think I know the answer to this, but let's hear it from you. Why is your voice so similar to how it used to be? I think a lot of people would be expecting you to sound more like a woman.
Well, what does a woman sound like, you know? That's all interpretive or, you know, opinion. But, I mean, my voice is my voice. I don't feel ashamed of my voice in any way, and especially with my singing voice. I mean, I think it's a misconception that HRT, hormone replacement therapy, changes your voice. It doesn't. So, you know, this is the way I speak. That's just what the deal is.
Was that a worry? Were you worried that your singing voice would change? Or not at all?
No.
That was way in the background.
No. I mean, my voice is like, singing-wise, has undergone like many changes over the years just from wear and tear. You know, you play 200-plus shows a year where you're screaming your head off. It does things to your throat.
Sure.
I can understand that.
Against Me is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Laura and James from the band. Their new album, again, is not coming out until January 21st, but the first single is out now, and it's got a charming title. F My Life 666. We're going to take a break and come back and play that here on K-Rock. Tell me about the song, though, guys.
Well, the title, a friend of ours whose name was Pope, who passed away about 3 years ago, it was something that he always said. And Pope was a very authentic person and someone who, to me, demonstrated, you know, how you should really live your life, and was definitely one of the steps in deciding to transition was seeing the way he lived his life and ultimately the way he died a little too young. So the title comes from that, and the song itself is, you know, about fears with transitioning and about periods of time in your life coming to an end and moving on.
The song is available on iTunes now, but you're going to hear it next right here on the Kevin Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. F My Life 666, brand new Against Me. More with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. That is brand new music from the band Against Me. Laura Jane Grace and James Bowman from the group are in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now, playing a sold-out show at the Troubadour. What's it like to hear your song on the radio, you guys? Is it still fun after all this time?
It is, of course, yeah.
You produced yourself this time, which I thought was interesting, and I'm always curious about this because a lot of us people on the outside who are just music fans, we don't know much about what the producer does. But you worked with Butch Vig, who's one of the all time greats for the last couple of albums. Do you learn enough from him just being in the studio with him for two albums that now you don't need him anymore and you can do it yourself, or is there some other reason why you produced yourself this time around?
Well, I definitely, you know, saw the opportunity to work with Butch as a real opportunity to learn something working with Butch and Billy, the engineer who we worked with, and, you know, did my best to sit in the back of the room and pay attention to every knob being turned and everything being done, you know, and learned an incredible amount during that period of time. But going into this record, you know, there was a desire to try and test out what we'd learn on our own, but then there was also kind of a little bit of self-preservation of knowing that, okay, we weren't going to work with the same team of people that we'd been comfortable with and worked with for the past two records, and I'm going to be talking about what I'm going to be talking about on this record, so I don't want to go into some studio and be surrounded by a bunch of strangers and, like, you know, be working this out both personally and as an artist while some dude is staring at me, you know?
It's sort of weird, though, because you said you sort of got to know him for the last couple of albums,
yeah,
and yet they would be strangers?
No, with Butch and Billy?
Yeah.
No, it's just we didn't have the opportunity to do this next record.
Okay.
Although Billy did mix the records.
I gotcha.
But yeah.
It seems like now would be, am I wrong about this, Laura, a pretty happy time in your life right now?
It's, you know, it's life. Life moves on. I don't know. It's a good period of time, sure. Yeah, uh-huh.
And that is certainly borne out by the titles of the songs on the new record. Not just F My Life, but Dead Friend,
Two Coffins, Black Me Out, Paralytic States. There's no shiny happy people is all I'm saying.
Well, just because, you know, I've embraced transition and come out and everything like that doesn't mean I'm not also manic depressive, you know?
All right.
I see.
How's it going at home, by the way? You have a wife and child. How's that been with your transition? And please let me know if I get too personal by asking you that, but I think a lot of people listening are probably curious what that must be like, how that changes the family dynamic.
Well, I mean, you kind of answered it with it's a transition, you know? Your relationship changes just like any relationship does, and you kind of figure out what that means and figure out as you're going, you know?
Right, but most relationships change like I'm growing a mustache or I'm going to the gym now. They don't change I'm going to be a woman. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot of change to put onto a relationship, and I'm sure that there are some wives who that would be a deal breaker. They'd be out.
Right. No, for sure. I don't know. I mean, it kind of is what it is, and you kind of have to stop thinking about the long term and kind of take it day by day. For me, a lot more of my fears lie in the parenting aspect of it and how that'll continue to change just because as my daughter gets older and everything and, you know.
How old is she?
She's 4.
4 years old.
And just the way that'll affect things with her, you know, and her friends and just going to school, stuff like that. It's scary, you know. I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert on it necessarily. You know?
Still just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. As my psychotherapist likes to say, just because you're diagnosed with cancer doesn't mean you suddenly become an expert on cancer.
Yeah, so. Right. I feel like, though, because you're such a high-profile person, especially in the world, you know, the circles that we run in of people who love rock music, I feel like people look at you as he or she must know all the answers. You know what I mean? Must know all the answers. You know what I mean? At every step of the way, they feel like you're a person that they can go to help understand it. And I think it's interesting to hear that you're kind of just still figuring it out, too.
For sure. I very much do not have all the answers. You know, I'm a wreck. So.
It's kind of refreshing to hear somebody actually admit that.
Right.
Against Me has always been an important part of your life. It's always been a great outlet. And I would imagine now, I mean, it must be so incredibly cathartic for you to be able to write these songs, record these songs, and then like tonight at the Troub and, you know, and 2014 to be able to go out and play these songs. I imagine that's part of the process too.
For sure. But at the same time, as James said earlier, like I've always written about dealing with gender dysphoria in Against Me songs. Just a lot of the times people haven't noticed in the past. Or I mean, and some of it hasn't really even been that veiled in metaphor. Like on our record New Wave, the last song had the lyric, "If I could have chosen, I would have been born a woman. My mother once told me she would have named me Laura." I mean, that's not like really hiding anything.
Yeah, I don't understand that exactly. It's
too subtle,
very
man.
Very vague.
Too hidden. All right, before we let you go, you're sold out tonight at the Troubadour, but then once the record comes out in January, I assume you'll be swinging back through Southern California. Against Me fans, we'll have a chance probably to see you at a bigger venue down the road, I imagine?
Hopefully so, yes. We definitely plan on doing a bunch of touring.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on the success of the single. We're looking forward to the album. Again, it's coming out on January 21st called Transgender Dysphoria Blues. Very nice to meet you guys. We wish you the best.
Thank you. Thanks. So much.
So let me just see if I can clarify. So what you're saying is I made things better.
You're remarkable.
That's your point.
You're magical.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Michael Wright Santa, I've been listening to you guys for decades. That was the most uncomfortable interview I have ever heard. Wow, was it as uncomfortable, awkward for you as it was for me. Weird man, weird. I welcomed the opportunity to have Against Me in, and I was not uncomfortable by having them in, and I was fascinated with the topic. But
maybe you two shouldn't have been the people to interview her.
But what? I don't know. It didn't go as well as I hoped it would, if I can be honest. I think I was hoping there would be more discussion, and it seemed a little bit like pulling teeth a little bit. I think Laura has been very open about her challenge and her struggle, but I don't feel like she was in a particularly expansive mood today, and I thought that made it a little tougher than
You don't think your very gracious and sensitive attitudes opened her up and allowed her to talk about things easily? Is that what you're saying? Because you guys could not have been more gracious and
for
and subtle.
Us, I felt like we were welcoming and respectful, Ralph. I do.
I made a terrible joke. I'll give you that. That didn't help. I made a really bad joke. But...
But I was in my relationship, it's like, oh, I'm growing a mustache. I'm going to a gym. Not I'm becoming a woman.
Right. And I thought that was a legitimate way to ask the question, which is, how did your wife handle the news?
That's not what you asked. You said, most people say, I'm going to the gym or I'm growing a mustache. Not I'm becoming a woman. That was how you handled that question. You didn't ask simply, how did your wife respond to it?
Look, we're just as God made us.
And he made a horrible mistake. Even God can make horrible mistakes.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Sorry.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Our bad. Kevin, any testicle comments you care to make?
Nope. I will tell you
that
my intent was not realized after that joke. I'll tell you that.
Maybe when someone's going through a really sort of crushing pressure of a life-altering decision, maybe the yucks don't come quite as easily as you'd like them to.
I can understand that, but...
Can you?
Yes,
really?
Well, especially now. But you would... But I would have thought that by the time you go on the air to talk about it, maybe you've worked some of that out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not quite so raw.
What was Kevin's joke, Ralph? What did he say? What was he trying to accomplish?
Laura said it was a whole new ball game, which he was going through. And Kevin said, oh, a ball-less game.
Kevin, goddammit.
I did say that. And it was meant to be funny, but no one in the room found it funny.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, no one listening found it funny either.
Yeah.
At least we all went,
asshole.
Oh, I just got the wind knocked out of me.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry to the band. Sorry to the station. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's good times.
I think it went well.
I do, too.
Having said that,
I hope they come back in tomorrow.
Moving on. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. On a, it's Friday, right?
Yeah.
We are deeply sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
I got to catch my wind.
Look, I was just trying. Okay. Swing and a miss. All right. Not everybody can hit a home run, Ralph.
Yeah. It's a swing and a miss, but you shouldn't hit the pitcher with the baseball bat over the head after you swing.
Oh. It didn't go as well as I had hoped.
I'll give you that. I want to apologize to everybody.
I'll give you that.
For the wrong that I've done.
Right.
I want to learn and grow from this. Inappropriate, hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable.
Kevin is a great guy. Mm-hmm. He is not much of an entertainer.
Okay. My bad. My bad. I'm sorry.
I just think a lot of people in Laura's position would say, you know what? Let's take that off the table. We're not going to discuss that. We'll bring the band in, but we're not going to talk about it. But she goes, you know what? I'm going to be open about it.
Right.
And then I think as she walked down the hallway after that interview, she said, you know what? I should have said, no, we're not going to talk about that. I should have taken that off the table. I didn't know that was going to happen. That's probably what she was thinking. That's just my guess.
Look, my joke was terrible. I don't think we were terrible that entire interview. I think my joke was a disaster. But I think most of Bean's questions I would back him on. I think they were fine.
I think the questions, the intent of the questions were fine. I think the delivery was a little rough overall.
We're not professionals, Ralph.
Overall, I think it was a little slapdash. A little, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey. A little too much.
Those kinds of jokes aren't helping. I'd be qualified to do this job.
Sensitivity, I think, could have been in order.
All right,
that's just me. It's Monday.
God's watching you.
It's up your score.
If God's watching us,
we're in a lot of trouble.
Pull our ticket. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, since it is Monday. Thor, The Dark World, $38.5 million.
What?
No, I'm just thinking. Thor makes me think about Thor questions, which makes me think.
Come on now. Let's move on.
Some of Kevin's greatest hits.
Come on.
The past couple weeks.
Stop it.
The Best Man Holiday, its debut, $30.6 million. Las Vegas was third. Free Birds was fourth. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa came in at number five. Then Gravity, Ender's Game, 12 Years a Slave. Captain Phillips
And about time, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. By the way, thanks to the listeners who gave me the heads up, Free Birds is indeed about time-traveling turkeys.
Yes!
How about that?
So I guess I'm going.
Right.
Now
you said you were going to go if it was about that.
Yeah. They should lead with that. How did they bury that lead?
They didn't. They go back in time to try and free
not aware.
Themselves from Thanksgiving or something. I don't know.
I was not aware. Anchorman 2. I cannot wait to see this film. Kevin's a lot like Ron Burgundy in many ways, I think.
Dare you?
The ball this game. Something Ron Burgundy would have said in an interview, I think.
But he's doing it to be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference.
And getting the laughs.
He's doing it to be
funny. Makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it?
All right. All right.
Anchorman 2's Ron Burgundy is getting an honor on December the 4th. Emerson College is changing its name of its School of Communications to the Ron Burgundy School of Communications.
Strong.
For one day. The college in Boston will rename the school just for one day in order to honor the fictitious television anchorman. Ron himself will appear at the renaming ceremony.
Bitchin'.
And they're also going to have a special screening of Anchorman 2 and The Legend Continues as well. So congratulations to those people. Emerson, that's a good deal.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? Will's, that just happened.
Will's going to show up and show them the movie, and Ron Burgundy's going to be there. That's pretty cool.
That'd be all right.
College president Lee Pelton said, Ron Burgundy understands the power of media as well as hairspray firsthand. So, it's true.
That is true.
Britney Spears needs a body double.
What?
Britney Spears needs a body double.
Why?
Which one of those words didn't you understand?
But why does she need a body double?
She's making a music video. And I guess they're going to kill her in the video. No, I'm just kidding.
For real?
Yes, they're going to kill a real person during the video, and they don't want it to be Britney.
All right.
Looking for a body double for Britney Spears is the ad. Please only submit if you have these measurements or very close to them. Height, 5'4". Weight, 130. 32C breasts. 27-inch waist, 35-inch hips, dress size 4, shoe size 7.
Wow, pretty specific.
Very specific.
So we think that's what Britney is then, right now, I guess.
Must be.
It's not too bad.
No word on how they will use the body double in the upcoming video shoot, but... Should be good.
5'4", 130.
Yeah, that's average.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's unusual for a pop singer, isn't it?
Dress size 4, actually, is well below the national average. But yeah, right. For a pop singer, they're usually about a 0. Britney finds that funny. Where was Britney during that interview?
Where was she?
Could have used her then.
Sure could have.
Yeah. Craig Ferguson's got a new gig. He's going to be hosting a game show called Celebrity Name Game. Here's how it's played. A celebrity will be teamed up with a regular person, contestant, and they will have to try to guess the names of various famous people, actors, singers, athletes, pop culture figures, politicians, even cartoon characters.
Sounds like a Password a little bit.
A little bit. It's a party game called Celebrity, basically, that people have played for many, many years. But Courtney Cox and David Arquette, their production company, have decided to put it on television, and Craig Ferguson will host. I think that could be fun. I think I'm going to go on and win me some money.
Sure.
It's been a while since you've been on a game show.
It has been a while. Kevin should be on that game. That's good. I'd like to see Kevin try to guess celebrity names along with a contestant. How frustrated would the contestant get? What? Really? Mickey Mouse? Couldn't get that one?
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party. And the ex-wife of Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx, the lovely Brandy Brandt, Playboy Playmate of the Year for 1987, by the way. Playboy of the Month, Playmate of the Month, rather. She is sitting in a jail cell in Australia.
Wow, what happened?
She is facing charges of drug trafficking. This is
dude.
This is a serious drug smuggling ring she was part of. She was extradited from Los Angeles to Sydney when authorities found out she was part of a syndicate that worked with an airline catering company that would smuggle large amounts of cocaine between L.A. and Sydney using passenger flights from Qantas and American Airlines.
That's
would
serious.
Stash the coke in the food containers from the catering service.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
If convicted, Brandy could spend the rest of her life in prison in Australia.
Wow.
How popular is Brandy Brandt going to be in a woman's prison in Australia if she goes away for life? I'm just saying.
Sure.
There's not a lot of female prisoners that look like the playmate
Yeah, I hear
from
you.
1987. If you've ever seen her photos, she is a stunning young lady. I don't know why she got mixed up in drug trafficking, but it was
as one of the stars of the Jail Babes porn video series.
Oh, that's
series.
Right. I forgot.
Sorry, there's actually some very attractive women behind bars, Ralph.
I forgot that you were in that series. Hustler videos, Jail Babes 5, I think it was, Bean stars in. Yeah. Bean goes to a woman's prison.
It's true.
In the video, and all the women go, nope.
Nah.
We're good, thanks. We're fine.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah.
I'm being told that Against Me's manager was very unhappy with the interview, you guys.
Well, really? What a surprise. Shocking.
That makes me sad.
Does it?
Yeah,
It seems like a lot of afterthought with the interview. Not so much forethought went into the interview.
I gave it a lot of forethought, and I did the best I could. And I'm sorry if that did not come across to the listeners or to the band.
You ran a little roughshod over, I thought. It's just me. It's just my take. What do I know? Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Kevin Nealon. Very talented actor as well. 60 years old today. Actor Oscar Nunez is 55. Elizabeth Perkins turns 53 years old today. Guitarist Kirk Hammett of Metallica?
Talica.
Oh, Talica?
Uh-huh.
51 years old today. Owen Wilson, the Butterscotch Stallion, recently impregnated his trainer. That's the life right there. Now he's got a new girlfriend, and the trainer's sitting in a trailer somewhere. 45 years old today. Duncan Sheik, singer and songwriter, also a Broadway composer of a very popular show called Spring Awakenings. 44 years old today. Peta Wilson, she was La Femme Nikita. 43 years old. Chloe Sevigny, 39 years old. I guess people know her best from Big Love, I want to guess. She was one of the wives
probably
on Big Love on HBO.
She's on American Horror Story recently as well.
Oh, that's right. 39 years old today. Super talented young lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm being told that no one enjoyed that.
Well, there you go.
All right, tomorrow
Once
morning,
again, we have pleased no one.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to give it another run, though.
Oh, really?
We're going to give it another try. We're going to do the best we can. That's all we can do, man.
Cut our losses and try again after the first of the year.
It's all we can do.
It does seem like we're end of the year. Maybe we should just go cleanse our palates.
Speaking of the end of the year, Dan Bova is going to be here talking about the Maxim Holiday Gift Guide.
Oh, good. I'm wondering what to get you guys.
We have Lou Ferrigno will be in the studio. And from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Andy Samberg will be here.
Love him. Love that show.
Plus, we've got your tickets for Pearl Jam. I didn't think I was going to come up with it, did you?
Nope.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.